Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight and another live prophetic talk show where we get whether we talk about it. Yes, we do. All right, good to be with you tonight, and I hope you're all doing well. And if not, we'll be praying for you here in a bit. And believe God with you for whatever you need tonight. And hopefully you're doing good, though. We're going to be praying that you are. And all right, it's Monday. Wow. I don't know. Y'all had a crazy day like I have. They're not crazy today. Wow. Amazing. And, I definitely made it, right? Because I'm here. And so, anyway, it's been really good. Sometimes that God can bring you through little stuff that goes on, just stuff that messes with you, nothing big, but just sometimes you hit a few little things, like, okay, I've had enough of this. Let's move on. Let's start our day over. All right. Yeah, I have those days too, just like everybody else, believe me. And the thing is that the grace of God really does matter and really does help you when you're going through that stuff, for sure. Like sometimes you wake up too late or too early or something. It's really true. I hate to say it, but yes, it really does happen. And it happens to me, too, just like it does to y'all, I'm sure. All right, so good to be here. Wow, really good to be here. Okay, hopefully you're all doing okay, but sometimes we're not. Sometimes we have ongoing battles, some things we can't talk about, some things we can. And so it's just wherever you're at on any of those scenarios, it can be you just need prayer. You need some talk. You need some worship. Worship the Lord a little bit, somehow or another, get people to help you think differently. Sometimes I just need somebody to help me think a little bit differently than I am at the moment and kind of help me to see things a little bit differently. And even just for a moment, sometimes one moment can change your day, you know? Yeah, so you have to realize that, you know, the changing of your day can be with just one bit of information from somebody. You just never know what's going to be. And so that's why we're here. We're hoping that we can give you one little bit of information, one little bit of something that can help you to maybe get through a hard day, get through a hard week, whatever. It's not like we're expecting you to be, you know, get everything that you need, to give you your complete breakthrough for a whole year or the rest of your life. I don't know for that. But we're here to help you give us just their daily bread. Maybe we can get some daily bread to somebody, that something that they need, something that they will help them. And, if we do that, then we've done good. We've done really, really good. So that's what we're excited about, that we have this outlet where we can talk to people and minister to people, you know, on a daily basis. And so if you go through a hard time, you're not the only one going through a hard time. Everybody goes through a little bit different hard time at different seasons. Some people go through hard times on a regular basis, right? And so we need to pray for people. Okay. All right. All right. Praise God. Well, on PGN, you never know what's going to happen. That is for sure. I kind of been into this thing about explaining, you know, where we're at politically, because a lot of people are wondering about it. A lot of people are thinking, you know, what do I need to do? Why is it important to have the right government? Why is it important to have, the right people ruling over you? Well, you find it real quick when they start killing babies on a regular basis, and they start saying that good is evil and evil is good, then you start thinking, okay, well, maybe it could be the government, you know, the government that we have. And many times it is the government that we have. You can see that. You've seen them, the passing of laws, the passing of the rule of law. And you see all that stuff get passed, and it's like, wow, you know, what else can happen? Exactly. That's what you need to think about. What else can happen? And so in the middle of what else can happen, that's what we're here for, is to kind of help you understand why the governing system that we have now is not going to work. That's why it wasn't important for Trump to be president, because God wants us to get our eyes off of the government of man, because the government that we have set up is not even of God anyway. It's the best thing that we have out there for the world. But we're striving and fighting for a government that is not of God. It's been a great government, you know. But now it is so corrupt. It's been getting corrupt for a long time. And if you don't know that or haven't seen that, then you haven't been paying attention. So you might want to start paying attention, because what happens is that when we have a corrupt government, you know, it just depends on what kind of corruption we have. It can go south on you fast. And all of a sudden your whole belief system can be brought under scrutiny and, you know, ostracized. Yeah. And made against the law. That's why you don't want a government that's not of God. But here's the thing. The Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? That's what the Lord said to pray. Now, why would Jesus say pray that? Why would the Lord say pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth? So does that mean that we pray for the kingdom of our government? Is that talking about our government, for God to come into our government? Yeah, well, it could be considered that, but it's more pure than that. It's more simple than that. It's simply saying that the governments of men, set up by men, that are not set up the way God has it, then those governments are open up to what we have now. And what a lot of governments have. Corruption gets in there, all kinds of things start happening, and people start taking things anyway, they start calling good evil and evil good. That's what bad government does. So the government system that we have now is not from the kingdom of God. I mean, you have to know the Bible a little bit to know that we have a secular government, not a godly government, not a Christian government, not a Judeo-Christian government. Or a Jesus government. We don't have that kind of government. The government was upon his shoulders, according to Isaiah. You know, the Bible talks about the government being upon his shoulders. Why did it say that the government was upon his shoulders? Because he carried about him justice, true justice. He carried about him, you know, the fact that the laws that he carried on his shoulders were, we don't abort babies. We don't call evil good and good evil. We don't call sexual acts, oh, that's okay with the government, because we're always going to have people that are going to be committing sexual acts that are not of God. And, you know, but when the government approves of them, then when it gets into the government, then, friend, it becomes really, really bad, really bad. So then the laws start changing, and then perversion and darkness begin to creep into our kingdom like never before. That's why we need the kingdom of God. That's why there's a preaching. The preaching of the kingdom of God is not just healing the sick and raising the dead and getting people saved. Preaching the kingdom of God is the government of God. In other words, it's really praying. Every time you say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, you're saying thy kingdom, you're talking about the government, the way things are run. Right. That's what we're looking at. And so the government we have now, you know, I mean, they got people that approve of killing babies in the womb. And now they approve of them killing them basically on the way out of the womb, almost. You know, it just shows you how depraved, and how the more the government that we have, the government that's not set up by God, the kingdom of God, when it's not the kingdom of God or the government of God, then the government that we have, what does it allow in? It allows in darkness. It allows in, you know, the opening up of Satan, the opening up of disease and sickness and perversion to be rampant in the earth. That's why the government of God is so important to be in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's not just you being a nice guy and doing what the Word of God says. It is about how our world is governed. When Jesus comes back, he's going to govern the world. There will be no voting, and there will be no Congress and Senate, so to speak, saying, okay, let's vote on whether we kill babies or not in the womb. There will be no voting on that. He will rule with a rod of iron. In other words, a rod of iron isn't like when he's in a bad mood, he just start whooping everybody. That's not what it means. A rod of iron means if you say you're going to start changing the government to kill babies in the womb, we're going to say we're going to stop you from doing that. Rule with a rod of iron, meaning that a rod of iron means not letting in evil, because evil lets in the devils, and the devils let in demons, and demons let in more devils, and devils let in more demons, and sickness and disease and darkness and oppression and mental disease and demons attacking people, oppressing people, making people sick emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, in every kind of way. And disease runs rampant. Why? Because it's all about the kingdom or the government that we have. The government of God is literally a government that's set up, that's ruled by one person, and his name is Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? Y'all understand what I'm saying? So we're spending millions and billions and billions of dollars trying to get our favorite guy elected, like Donald Trump was, or with Donald Trump, or the Republicans are. They're spending millions and billions of dollars on people, and on a government that is a failure already. The reason it's so corrupt, people say the government is so corrupt, the reason it's corrupt is because, why? Because we've got bad people? Not necessarily. More of that, because we have the wrong people with the wrong governing structure. And when you have the wrong governing structure, you open up doors. Bad government opens up bad doors. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done, is the government of God be in the earth. In other words, Jesus Christ, even if he's not here, the church being used to bring forth and rule with a rod of iron, with strength and power, that says we will not kill babies in the womb, much less anything else compared to that. We're not going to do that. That will not happen. And we're not even going to vote on it. Oh, let's vote on it. We're not going to vote on that. That's not going to be votable. Why? Because when you got a kingdom of God ruling, when you got a government that only opens up to God's word and God's will in the earth and goes, you know, we have the laws already. We don't have to be under the law, but you can go back to the law, and now we have forgiveness through Jesus Christ. But the laws that were set into action, like what do you do with somebody that steals your cow or pokes its eye out? Well, it tells you how you handle things. How does it tell you to handle something when somebody commits adultery or somebody kills your animal? You know, what happens? Was it accidental? Was it God Almighty brought forth the laws that we govern by? And I'm not talking about sacrifice, the Levitical part of it, where under the law where we sacrifice animals. I'm not talking about that part of it. That part's been fulfilled big time. Now we're just talking about, if you go back and you look and listen to the laws, it brings justice to somebody who messed you around. And when you got a government that deals with things according to the Word of God, God told Moses specifically the things of how he wanted the earth to rule its kingdom. I don't know if you know it, and this is beyond the Ten Commandments. When God went up to Moses, went up to on the mountain and talked to God about the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments, you know, are good. You know, it's how you fulfill them. And now we fulfill them by the Holy Spirit. Then they couldn't fulfill them all. But now all the laws, then you add all the other laws that God added,
God added those laws. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't a bunch of good guys who got together, a bunch of very intelligent Jews who were very righteous and got together and made some laws that they thought were good. There's like 600 and something laws. And so how do you keep up with all that? Where did all that come from? And do we get governed by those laws today? Well, for the most part, yeah, because it tells you what happens if somebody steals your car. It tells you what happens when somebody takes money from you. The justice that God brought in the governing realm is what protects you from somebody stealing your stuff and getting by with it. So when it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, it's talking about the kingdom. The kingdom is run by laws, right? We're always going to have law. We're not under the law, like under the sacrificial Levitical laws where we sacrifice animals, but we are, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. I mean, hey, that's a good one, right? Thou shalt not worship any other gods. You know, don't have any other gods before you. Don't worship idols. There's all kinds of things that it talks about. But then there's the 600 or so laws. Where did those things come from? I don't know if there's 600 exactly how many there are, but let me see here if you can find the. Okay, right here. All right, hang on a second. Come on. All right, yes, sir, here. I want to go to the scripture here for a second. I got it, my internet's messing up on me, so give me just a second. Okay. All right, Exodus 33, verse 9. When you read Exodus 33, verse 9, you see a lot of things here. But one of the main things I want you to look at in verse 9, how God, once Moses got the tabernacle built, you know, God told him in detail how to set up the tabernacle. All right. And when God told Moses how to set up the tabernacle, then he built the tabernacle, and then God came down in the tabernacle. You know, we talk about the glory cloud. God came down in the glory cloud in the tabernacle, and the people would hear God and Moses talking. Yeah, just like you could hear somebody talking. They could hear God talking to Moses, Moses talking to God. And you know what God was doing? God was giving him all the laws of how he wanted to govern man. Like, you know, like the laws, a lot of the laws that we have today are Judeo-Christian laws, and our laws are governed by that. And so when you realize that the laws that we even have, you know, what they're all for and where they came from Moses, because they're practical things about what happens if somebody, you know, breaks the law, you know, like we do today. It's real simple. So when you see that and you understand that, then you start going, wow, this is amazing, because, you know, you start realizing that, you know, the laws that we have are what protect us. So when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we're praying for the change of the government, right? And right now the government is a Roman government, if you will. It's a government like Rome, and it's going to stay like that. That's not going to change. We are not going to have a great America like Trump wanted. That's not going to happen, because God didn't want us to trust in a government that's already set up incorrectly. It's a democratic government. It's the best government I think that they have in the earth that we know of, but it's still not the government of God. Because the true government of God is run by one person. His name is Jesus. And so that's what the Antichrist is going to try to copy when he comes, and that's why he's going to come, and one man is going to rule, because it's a copy of what Jesus is going to do, because that's the only thing that works. And believe me, the governments of the world now know that you can't have a government like what we've had, and it lasts very long. We're a very young nation, and yet our nation is already so corrupt. The government is so corrupt. Why is it corrupt? Because we've got bad people everywhere, demons everywhere? Well, partially, but no, mainly because the doors are open to let's vote about whether we kill babies or not. Okay, let's kill babies. And for so how many million babies are killed? The reason that just that one thing, Fred, shows you how we can kill innocents without even thinking about it because a daily project in our country, and it opens up the door to all kinds of demonic activity and all kinds of judgment from God. Why? Because the government's not of God. Therefore, God judges that government because that government opens up the door to all the wrong things, called darkness, called demons, called whatever things that they're opening up to. Our government is opening up to the demonic realm without even realizing. They say you don't believe in God and basically don't believe in the devil either, but at the same time, they're opening the door to all of it. You see what I'm saying? That's why Donald Trump, is awesome as he was for us for 4 years, is not... It's not going to – God has said we're not going to do that because you keep having to do it over and over and over and over and over again. Then you have a Donald Trump maybe one more time. And then you have Biden one more time. And you keep going back and forth and back and forth and back. And you never really get anywhere because it's not the government of God. And that's why Jesus is speaking to us right now, and God is speaking to us prophetically as a prophet. I'm telling you, thus saith the Lord, the governments of man – are a failure. Why are they a failure? Because they start voting on things like, let's kill babies. And they decide it's cool to kill babies. As one example. And what happens? It plunges our nation and our world into the darkness. And little by little, before we know it, we've opened up the door to all kinds of darkness. Why? Because a government that does not function. The Democratic government is not the government of God. It does not work. It's not going to work. And everybody who's praying the Lord's Prayer for years has really been praying against the government that we have without even realizing it. Yeah, you get in a prayer meeting. Oh, God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And Lord, bless the Democrats and bless the Republicans, and we come up with the best. You know, God can't bless a government that's not of him. Because it's always going to be opening up to the demonic eventually. Because you have people that vote on things. And you get bad people in there or compromising people. Somebody pays them off. Pretty soon they're going to be voting on, you know, taking all your money and putting a chip in your hand. And there won't be anything you can do about it as far as, you know, if you want to be on their side. So this is the government. This is why God is speaking to us about thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What you're saying is the government of God, ruled by somebody who rules with a rod of iron, right? So that's where we're going. That's what's happening. And when you start understanding why the government we have is now corrupt after, you know, what, 200-something years, how many years we've been going on, it's very young. We're a very young nation. And yet the Democratic way does not work. You can see it doesn't work. What we just went through with Biden and all the people that think that the election was stolen and the whole thing, however they think it happened, I don't know how everybody thought, but you know, they're going to go. They're going, this is corrupt. Why is it corrupt? Well, let's try to fix our corrupt government. No, because you're trying to fix a system by voting to get a few right people in there, because it's eventually going to fall right back apart again. And God says, enough of that. Those of you who have been praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, you're praying, thy government come. So God says, you want my government? Okay, we're going to have to do away with this government. This government's going to have to, you know, go its own direction because it's not of God anyway. It's not built on godly principles. They say our nation is built on godly principles. Well, the system itself is not God. You don't vote in Jesus for 4 years, and then hopefully we vote him in another 4 years running against you or me or whatever. Not you or me, but somebody. Yeah. So you see what I'm saying, friend? In the government of God, you don't vote in. When God set the laws with Moses and he gave all the laws and he said, you know, if somebody steals your ox, they got to pay you a certain amount of money. You know, eye for an eye meant it kept the fear, it kept fear of people that if they got loose in society just to be reckless and poke your eye out, then they got to pay for that. Those laws are the laws that God gave. And God says, I want the laws that are full of justice and full of righteousness, and you can't have that voted on. People don't vote on. Could you imagine Israel saying, okay, Moses, what are we going to vote up for what God just told you in the tent, in the tabernacle? We're going to have a voting booth, right? And we're going to vote on whether we think that, we got to kill babies or not. And Moses goes, we don't vote on God's laws. What do you mean vote on God's laws? We don't vote on that. No, God said, and that's what we're going to do. You see what I'm saying, friend? That's the government of God. That's why we end up in corruption, is because we open up the floor for people to vote on what God says. And the whole government is going to Antichrist. Antichrist meaning anti-God, anti-God's laws, Christ representing the Mosaic laws, the Judeo-Christian ethics laws, and those laws are come from God. That's what God's going to govern by. And we're not talking about the Levitical. I keep repeating this. We're not going by offering sacrifices anymore and all that kind of thing. We're just talking about the basic laws that God told Moses about in the tent when he spoke to him day after day after day after day after day. I thought, how did they get those 600-something laws, you know, to govern, when something went wrong, they would, you know, come before the court. You know what court they had? They had a court. They had the court of the courts of the judges that judged according to the law of God. Not of something that they voted in. Oh, see, should we vote on, you know, killing babies or not? Did we vote on that last year? Well, you can kill them halfway through when they've been in the womb for three and a half, four months. We can kill them then. Okay, so we have to adjust what God said and said, just, you know, so now we can do this. And so once you start changing God's laws, it opens up pretty soon. You're killing them when they're coming out of the womb. That's why that government does not work when we vote on God, when we have God's laws or not. Ruling with a rod of iron means even if we did it today, we would say, you know, there's one man ruling this thing, there's one church ruling this thing, and it's the Church of Jesus Christ. And the Church of Jesus Christ says, when you come to court, you come to our courts. You don't go to the courts of the Antichrist. You don't go to the courts of the world. You come to the courts where God's laws are, you know, you will be judged by according to God's laws. And these days, if you're found in some horrible sin and you want to get it right with God, then we have a process. The church has a process where we get you set free, where we get you delivered. If you murdered, raped, and killed, we have a system now through Jesus Christ where people can actually have their life changed. Under the law, they didn't have the power for that. They had to kill them. Right? When they did certain things, they killed them. Why did they do that? Because they didn't have the power to change. Now we don't kill people. The church doesn't kill people. Now, if God chooses to do that, he knows what's going on, like Ananias and Sapphira. But what we're talking here about is that the church, you know, sets up a throne room, like with Peter, and Peter's in the book of Acts, where a throne room was set up, and Ananias and Sapphira came in, and Peter said, you're not lying to me, you're lying to God. What was that? Who struck him dead? Peter? No. Peter had nothing to do with it. God did that. For whatever reason, he knew he had to do that. And so it happened. But it was God that did it. And therefore, we have a system that is set up where God is having his way. And his laws are how we judge people. And then once we judge them as guilty, and their verdict is that the evidence brought forth that they are guilty, and instead of killing them like the woman who was caught in adultery, instead of killing her, stoning her, no, we take them to the back room and get the kingdom of priests. And by the way, I'm not talking about the Catholic Church either. The Catholic Church is kind of like the old Judaism, where, you know, we had Levitical law and all that, and they offered sacrifices and all that. You know, that's kind of like the Catholic Church today is kind of like back then. It's not what we live by anymore. It has been corrupted. It has been corrupted. God is setting up a new thing, just like he did after Orthodox Judaism and the Levitical priesthood was fulfilled by Jesus. Then he got a new priesthood, Peter, James, and John, and people like you and me, who weren't Levites. Same thing today. The Catholic Church has all this whole thing going on. It's so corrupted that most people believe, even Catholics believe, that it's going to be the false prophet in the last days, which I think so. I haven't heard from God about that, but I think that's what's going to happen. Okay, so what's happening? God is bringing out a new order called the world's going to have a new order. The church is going to have a new order. It's going to be the order that's not of the Catholic Church or the Charismatic Church or the churches that have been merchandising and all the ministries that have been merchandising. We're going to have a whole different group set apart that are going to be brand new judges and lawyers and people who hear from God, and we will judge people according to that. And if they're found guilty of being a murderer or a rapist, then we take them to the place where they get deliverance and set free. And if they don't want that and they resist that, then the church, Jesus set up the church where the church has a way that if you keep resisting change and you don't want to be delivered, you want to be set free, then we hand you over to the worldly system and let them put you in prison. That's how it's set up right now, according to the Bible. Jesus taught that, hey, if a brother sins, go to him, and he goes into the process, and if he doesn't listen to him, take two. Then if he didn't listen to the two, he changed to the two, then take three, and then you end it before the church, and the church counts him as an even. It's the same thing we will do in the future or right now, the way God wants to handle it, where the church actually deals with those things, and then the people don't want to get delivered. They don't want to get, and we know they're guilty of rape, murder, and killing people and whatever they've been doing, and they don't want to get set free. We first give them a chance to get set free. Then if they don't want it, then the church has a process. According to the Bible, I've talked about this many times over the years, but I'm putting it into a different, a very specific package tonight. And that is that the church has the power to say, you know, you're not confessing your sin, you're not getting this out in the open. You're not receiving your forgiveness. You're not receiving it. So after a season, they may don't receive it and don't want to get set free. Then the church has the authority, according to the Bible, to give them over to be heathens. In other words, the worldly courts will judge them and throw them more likely in prison. Which is, that's not what we want, right? We want restoration because now we have Jesus Christ. We're not under the old law, where when you were caught in adultery, in the act of adultery, you were stoned. Now we believe that you can change an adulteress into a holy woman of God who can preach the gospel and heal the sick and raise the dead. Amen? That's the kind of church we're talking about, friend. And that's the kind of thing that God wants to do. Right? We still have the Mosaic laws as far as, how we deal with things, theft and murder and, you know, all those things. But then we go a step further where Jesus took us, a step further where we take them and once we find out that they really are guilty and they've done all these things, then we try to restore them. You see what I'm saying? That way people don't go to prison that are truly sorry for their sins and want to get free, and it doesn't matter, they get locked up forever anyway. It doesn't make any difference. Here they get a chance. Because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Right? But how we deal with justice and rules and regulations and, you know, somebody steals or, you know, whatever they do. We have laws that the church deals with. Not the government. Not the city. Not the city of Garland or the city of wherever you're at. No. The New Jerusalem. I don't know about the New Jerusalem yet, but the church of the living God. God is raising us up and separating us from the world system. They're going to be going, doing their own thing, Antichrist. You know, in other words, Antichrist means not Judeo-Christian. They're going to be approving of killing babies, right? When the Judeo-Christian say, we don't kill babies, right? That's what true Christians believe. We don't kill babies. right? So they do. That Antichrist means they kill babies, and it means that we don't. In a nutshell, I'm putting, trying to make it simple. We can get hold of what I'm saying to you, right? So they have their system. We have our system. But we fully rule. We fully reign. We don't take things to – that's why Paul the Apostle said, why are you taking things to the worldly system? Why are you taking things to the worldly courts? Don't do that. Why was he saying that? Because they'll lock up somebody in prison forever that God may want to set free and cast the demons and heal their life and deliver them and bring them freedom. Instead, they'll lock them up forever. Why are you taking them to those courts? Those courts don't know how to deal with anybody, with God's people especially. Why do Christians take Christians to court? You're going into an antichrist system that will not, that may or may not judge you according to God's word. And then when you get judged under the church, you have the chance and opportunity and, you know, to be set free and to be restored. Does that make sense to y'all? Are y'all getting this tonight? Are y'all with me? Are y'all out there? All right, I'm trying to explain the government of God. When we preach the kingdom of God, when we preach the gospel of the kingdom, you know what we're preaching when we preach the gospel of the kingdom? What is that? Oh, that's healing the sick and raising the dead, Randy. Don't you know? Getting people saved. Yeah, that's a little part of it. A big part of it, of course, as far as that portion. But it is preaching the kingdom of God is preaching that the church, not the world, not Joe Biden, not even Donald Trump and his crew, which were pretty good people. None of them. Not that government at all. That government is not the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of man. And we've had a pretty good kingdom so far, but it's so corrupt now that God's saying, you don't understand. You keep trying to pray and change it and spend money to change that government. It's not going to change because its origin is not of me. We don't vote in my kingdom on whether we kill babies or not. We don't vote on that. Get that in your spirit, man. That'll help you understand the basics of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That it's about the government of God. Amen? When the government of God is working, it closes the door to demons and sickness and disease. It closes the door to that stuff, friend. That's why the kingdom of God is so important, that it gets set up correctly, because it shuts the door to all that. Because you don't even vote on demon activity in your midst, which is killing babies. It's one of the many things we could talk about, much less all the other things. That opened up a door. And then all the other things they did opened up doors. Doors to what? Demons. Darkness. And to our nation. So God wants to raise up a nation, that he wants our nation to be global, a global nation that has Jesus Christ and the gospel of the kingdom isn't just healing the sick and getting people saved and raising the dead. It is about governing. Our job is to govern. We need to tell Joe Biden and them to go take a hike. They can go do their thing. We know they're going to do it. Go do your thing. The church is going to have its own global governing system that if they try to mess with it, it's going to cost them. I say we vote for the two witnesses. Except they're not going to be running. They're just going to take over. They are. They're going to take over. It's called ruling with an iron scepter. You see what I mean by ruling by an iron scepter? Are y'all with me on this? Do you see this? Because it's like, in other words, we don't open up the floor to, okay, they're going to vote on whether we kill babies tonight. If somebody brings that up, we rule with an iron scepter. No, we are not going to vote on that. That's not even going to be. That's not even an option. That's ruling with an iron scepter. Are we going to have same-sex marriage? No, we're not even going to vote on that. That's not even voting. We rule with an iron scepter. We don't even vote on that. That's not up for vote. You see, that's ruling with an iron scepter, friend. All right. I'm try to explain things to you, because if you think it doesn't matter to you, well, because that government is not God anyway. It's been great to have. Thank God for the good times we've had with it. But we're paying billions and millions and billions of dollars to keep that thing going when God says, just can it. Let it go its way. God says it's going to go its way. He's going to allow it to go its way. He's going to allow it to go its way. So just let it go its way. And then let's start praying correctly and focus. Instead of focusing on Trump being president and wasting our time and wasting our money, let's spend our time and our money focusing on the kingdom of God governing, instead of letting the enemy distract us with trying to get President Trump to be president again. It's not him. It's about the system that he's in. And it's just not – they just showed all of us how corrupt it really is. And you want to vote that thing in again? You want to play with that? You want to spend money on that? No. Spend money on the kingdom of God, especially those who don't merchandise. don't take me there. Yeah, you know how it is. Okay. All right. Just making sure you can hear me tonight. All right, let's take callers tonight, see what's going on. All right, let's take 754-240. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please? All right, 254-240, are you there? Hello?
Hey, Randy, this is Donald and Tanya from Miami.
Hey. All right, I got y'all. All right, let's pray for you. You're somehow your phone got on here three times. I'm going to cut off two of them. Hopefully, I'm not going to cut off the one that you're actually on. But your phone number's on here three times. Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. We just won't mess with that. Okay, just keep talking to me. Talk to me for a minute. I'm gonna turn off some things as you talk.
All right. Yeah, I'm on. Hangs up, so I have to recall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one that you're on. Okay, I got you.
Yeah. The reason it does that is for whatever reason, sometimes I call in and then it hangs up. So I have to call in, but on your end, it doesn't look like I hang up, you know, but it hangs up on my end and I have to redial the number and call it back in.
Oh, great. So
that's
great.
Why
well,
sometimes
okay.
it does that.
Yeah. I've seen it happen before, but I didn't know why it did that. So I'm glad you explained it. And I just did an experiment. I cut off those other two. Well, I cut you off on this one too, but then I cut off the other two. And I found that the one I cut you off on was the first one. So, all right. Hey, man.
Mm.
Good. Great. Let's pray for you. And I'm going to mute you just for a second. Let's pray for you and Tanya tonight. And then we'll be able to talk for a little bit here. Thank you, Jesus, for the transition. You know, I keep getting this thing. I know every time I talked to you last night, and you asked me about your purpose and all that, and so it's all like last time it went to the revelation that God gives you. Because here's the thing that we need to teach on this sometime, revelate on this a little bit. What opens us up to our purpose is the revelation that we get, the things that we're called to, the things that we get from God, the things that we go, yeah, that makes sense to me. I got that. I connect with that. It's what we get, the information that we get connected to is, you know, very, very important, because that's what opens up the door for us. You know, so let's say tonight, like we're talking about the government, how that we're talking, I'm talking right now specifically about how we love our democratic government, but it's just not a government of God. I mean, when you read the Bible, you see that voting on, like we're talking about tonight, voting on gay marriage, you know, on same-sex marriage, or voting on whether we kill people or not in the womb, kill children in the womb. So that the fact that that even came up for vote shows you that the system itself just isn't of God. So some people reject that. They go, no, we want Donald Trump, and we want our government, we want our democratic way of doing things is the best way, and blah blah blah. And they don't even understand that the whole time we're praying for the kingdom to come, the kingdom to come. What does the kingdom come with? Laws and rules. What are the laws and rules? Well, minus the Levitical sacrifices and offerings, which Jesus Christ fulfilled, it has to do with, you know, how we handle people that steal and cheat and lie. And, you know, and then even better, once we catch them in the act and they get busted and they get proven to be guilty, then we take them and set them free. I mean, you know, as far as deliverance and salvation and helping them change and, you know, get their whole life changed. I mean, what better government could you have than that? There is no better government. And that's the government that God has now set up. Before, under the law, when you were found out to, in that one case of the lady who committed adultery, they had the right to stone her. That's how God thinks about adultery. It's pretty rough. But now, Jesus said, I didn't come to judge her of that. I come to set people free. So we find them guilty, catch them in the act, we bring them before the courts in the house of God, say, you're doing this, do you admit you did it? And if they keep lying and say, no, I didn't, when they have the evidence, then if we can't change their mind and help them and take them to, you know, a time of forgiveness and love and digging into their past and find out where the demons came in and where the devil came in and where the lies came in. And if they don't receive any of that after months and months and months of trying to help them, then the Bible says that we give them over to, you know, to be heathen, which means we put them outside the church and let whatever deal with them. And usually when it's, you know, the governments we have now, you know, she's going to be in trouble, or people like that are going to be in trouble. So when you get the revelation about that and you see what we're talking about tonight, that kind of thing, that kind of revelation, then when you catch it, then you think completely different than those who are trying to get Trump to be president again. And they're focusing all their attention on trying to get that government going. We're trying to keep the same government we have going. But that government is corrupt, not because of just bad people. It's because the system itself is open to corruption. It's easy to corrupt it. And we're a young nation, and it's already corrupt, big time. That's improved. So when you get revelation or understanding, and you say, yeah, you know, when God starts showing you that's what he's doing, then you think completely different from those who are trying to keep the old government going. It's just like the old Jew, like Paul the Apostle, when he was Saul, he was trying to keep the law going. He said, who are these bunch of crazy Christians? I'm going to start killing them. And he started killing Christians. Why? Because he was trying to keep the old law, under the old law, going. And according to him, these Christians were blasphemers. So it's the same thing going on now. It's like, you know, we're coming out from underneath, handing people over to the government that doesn't care about their soul. It only cares about justice without giving them a chance to be set free. That's the system we have now. That's why Paul says we don't turn them over to that. So in other words, when you start going, yeah, I think that's the revelation for me. I think I'm going to quit. I'm still going to pray for our government, but at the same time, I'm not going to waste my time and energy and all my thoughts with trying to get the old thing going. Let's get the new thing, the new thing going. So those who get that revelation are going to think differently. And just like Peter, when Peter got the revelation of who Christ was, that opened him up to his ability to preach, to go fishing for men instead of fishing for fish. Right? That's what opened him up to his purpose of fishing for men instead of fishing for fish, was Jesus said, who do men say that I am? He said, you're the Messiah. He goes, well, you know, I can tell right now, you're going to be feeding the sheep, which meant he's not going to be doing that anymore. Why? Because he caught the revelation. So I keep harping on that. I'm not harping on it, but talk that with you. Every time I talk to you now, that's all I think about. It's your revelation, the revelation God's given you, is going to open you up to your purpose, just like you did with Peter. So anyway, so what's going on? Hang on a second.
Work.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, Randy. Yeah, well. Basically, my grandma, she just passed away the other day. You know, we'll be going to the funeral. She lives in New York. Well, she lives in New York. So we'll be going to the funeral Friday. So that's just been what's been going on the latest. So just getting ready for that. with my whole family and my mother and things like that.
Okay, that was your grandmother?
Yeah, my grandma. My grandma passed.
Okay, you're right. Yeah. Wow, I'm so sorry to hear that. How old was
she? She was 95 years old.
Oh, my gosh. So she lived a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It's always sad to lose them. I know when I lost my mom. Boy, you have longevity in your family, dude.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, she lived a long, long life, and yeah, and she had like all her, you know, I mean she knew what was going on up until she passed away. Like she knew what was going on. She had her mind, like, you know, a good mind, like everything, you know.
Wow.
Still walking and everything until she passed away. Yeah.
Well, no wonder the Lord's talking to you about the future kingdom, and you're a part of it because you're going to live a long time. You know, anyway.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty cool. You know, everybody's hoping, you know, that all things work out for good and that we don't end up in this mess for too much longer, but, you know, God does. But it sounds like things are going on pretty quick right now, I think. I think they're going on pretty quick right now. So we'll kind of play it by ear and see what goes on. But, man, from what I'm getting, dude, it's getting a little bit like, wow, amazing.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Where are you at on all this?
Well, I think just like last time we spoke, it's just like you said, it feels like things are because we knew about these things for years, and we always heard, you know, even growing up about the end time.
Right.
You become sort of numb to it. You're like, yeah. But it just feels like it feels like now, you know, it feels like now is really the end time. Like, and I know, like, probably somebody else, they probably say, yeah, we heard this. But, you know, but I could say for myself and just, you know, I think a lot of people are actually looking at it. And you can see it and feel it. And, man, this could be.
Yeah.
So that's what it's feeling like.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you know, I'm one of those, I'm just like everybody else. I'm like going, you know, they've been talking about this for many, many years. So are we really there or do we just think we're there? You know, I mean, that's what I'm asking. And the fact that everything about Biden that I got, you know, but like the whole battle, as I talk about many, many times, about the 1134 number that I got, and the fact that he was, you know, 11-3 was the election, and 4 was, I said, well, there was no election win on the 3rd, so if something happens 4 days from now, then 1134 means something. You know, and then what happened on the 4th day was amazing, because that's when Biden, they had Biden winning. And with all the stuff, you know, as you know, some of our new listeners, because I talk to new listeners all the time, too. That's why I repeat things, because we have new listeners all the time. And so I, you know, told people from that time on, Trump's not going to win anything. And he's not going to win any of his lawsuits, nothing. I mean, he had like 60 lawsuits. That's a lot of lawsuits to say he's not going to win any of them. And he did not win one of them because, you know, and the Lord showed me that, and I made it public here on PPN. And so from that time on, I just knew – you know, I knew personally, I'm still working my way through it though, dude. I'm still going, can this really be, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, to be honest, as much as I'm getting on it, I'm still going, God, you're going to have to confirm to me all along the way, because this is a big thing to say that, you know?
Yeah. I don't do a ton of research on, you know, different things that's going on and, you know, get into all the conspiracies and all that. But, you know, I mean, from what I just feel and the little bit of information that I get, just from what I just feel like it just feels like set up. It just feels like they setting things up. It's just like any enemy would. It feels like chess. It's just like, Yeah, it just feels like they just setting some stuff up and you know, making preparation, but they're not, they're being real covert about how they're doing it. So, you know, that's what I feel. I just feel it's like I can feel it, I sense it. But if you ask
yeah.
me, what in particular makes you feel like that? I say, I don't know. I just feel it. It's just basically the spirit. Well, you just start to feel like, man, it's like,
yeah.
man, things are moving. I don't think everybody is noticing, like, what's going on. Everybody, a lot of people are just looking at it like, this is just normal day-to-day things going on, especially the young people, the younger people, because, you know, they don't,
okay.
they haven't really dealt with the past and seen, like, how
right.
the past was and stuff like that, so...
Right.
So, I don't know. I just feel, but I feel it. I could feel it like, you know, things are just changing, and it's a different change from my past. It's a different change from what
yeah.
I witnessed before. And it's,
yeah, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. me too. And,
yeah.
and the thing
and,
that I talked about tonight, yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Randy.
And I think the Catholic, I don't have a revelation on the Catholic Church for sure being the false prophet, but even a lot of Catholics think that it's going to be the false prophet. You know, not all Catholics, but the Catholic system. And I see the Catholic system right now, you know, it's pretty predominant. I mean, the Catholic world is big, really, really big. And there are some absolutely amazing, God-fearing, born-again, spirit-filled Catholics that love Jesus with all their heart. I mean, thank God for them. They've helped change the face of our nation in many ways. But the system itself, I think it's like the days of when Jesus fulfilled the law, and then Saul, who was killing Christians, you know, in the book of Acts, is what I think the Catholic Church is going to be doing. Same, similar thought process.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? In other words, it's like...
Mm.
Yeah, when it becomes, and I think it's going to be the false prophet too. I don't have a word from the Lord for sure on that, but with different people, when I get a word, I'll definitely tell people, but that's kind of where I'm thinking right now with my knowledge that I have and how they're open up to all the different religions and different things that the Pope is into. And you know. So I think that the same way
yeah.
the book of Acts was the Christians – the book of Acts people even killed and persecuted by the religious, you know, by like Saul, you know, who was a Pharisee under the law. I think the same thing's going to happen exactly during the tribulation. I think that we're going to see, and it's going to be that group, that not the people themselves, but their system is going to be rising up to fight us. And that's going to be, like in the
yeah.
case of the book of Acts, it's not going to be the Orthodox Judaism. It's going to be Catholicism, at least the order of it.
Well, there's one thing in particular, like as you're talking, that now it stuck out to me. That makes me see and feel a difference. Let's say with me. Like in the Bible, I forgot what verse it is, but it says a time where, people will reject the gospel. They will reject the gospel and say, you know, this is a fake whatever religion and stuff like that. Now, I've dealt with that in the past, and they had, but let's say for my culture, African American, blacks, and everything like that. All my life growing up, now whether they were following God or whatever like that, you know, it's like the background, you know, they all, you know, at least the people around me, the people I was bumping into, going to school and everything like that, everybody knew about God. Everybody knew, or their grandma or their mom, they served God.
Right.
And, you know, even if they was not serving God, but they consider themselves Christians or whatever. And I remember, and it actually took a real turn when I was locked up, actually, where I have never seen that much of, like, the blacks, like, my people. Like, you know, they were, because they used to always debate with me, and they used to always come up to me and debate and why I believe in God. And I remember I used to be in the middle of debate, and I'm asking God, man, God, give me something so I could, you know, tell these guys, like, you know what I'm saying, because these guys would do their study and everything like that. And I said, man, I used to read that verse, and it never really bothered me because I was like, yeah, you know, whatever. But I guess, like, when it's really, like, your people, the people that you identify with, and then you start feeling the pressure because it's, like, little by little is more and more where I have seen a rise in, like, the African-American and everything like that where they're not believing in God, and they're disrespecting like the Christians or whatever, or saying it's a white man religion,
right,
and this and that, and like it's been more resistance as I've gotten older, and this is recent. This is like in recent years that I've noticed, and I said, "Wow!" I said, "Man, this is what God was talking about." Like, cause I read it. And let's say if I read it, then I'm probably figuring out, okay, yeah, that's probably another culture. Yeah, they'll probably, like, reject. But, you know, the fact that I'm not that of that culture, I was not really caring about it. Let's say I was not caring about it, or I was like, hey, you know, that's going to happen, whatever. But now it's like people that's close to me, people that's, you know, that's I'm related to my culture-wise and everything like that. I'm like, oh, wow, I never seen this. Like, I never seen that.
Right.
Like, back in the days, I've never seen, like, you know, people I would interact with. And they'll say, man, I don't believe in no God. Like, even if they were, like, doing wrong or whatever like that, but they still believed in God. They still, you know, but now it's like you get in more resistance. Like, you talk about God, you say something about God, well, they'll come with a resistance as far as, like, oh, this is not real. This is not real. Like, it's more of a challenge. So, you know, just speaking, you know, because we're speaking about when you know, how we're noticing change, and that's one in particular way that I've noticed where I never dealt with that growing up. I never dealt with, you know, I never dealt with any resistance of me being a Christian, where now you'll hear it. It's more where people will they'll worship, like, their ancestors or something like that. It's becoming more popular, like the ancestor worship and stuff like that. And going back to the religion of Africa, like Yoruba, like these type of like whatever was in our old ancestors and stuff like that. That's what's been coming up more and more. That's one thing that I have noticed, where I say, man, this is different. This is different for me personally that I have never witnessed before. And so that's just one thing.
Right. So that just kind of adds to what, you know, you have the Catholic thing going on, if indeed they are that. You know, I think that that they're more set up for the global thing. The Catholic, the Pope and all that whole system, they're set up for the global. And I think that what they're trying to do, I think they're trying to do, is they're trying to set up for people like what you're talking about to kind of fall under a thing. You can be religious and, you know, and we'll accept your thing of worshiping your forefathers, whatever it is, you know, like what you're talking about, like in Africa. Like, we're going to say, they're going to say, okay, we're going to approve of that. So it's an all-inclusive thing, and I think that the Catholic hierarchy, the Pope, is going to be open up the door for every kind of belief system, and we'll just tag it under, here's your religion. What kind of religion do you want? Oh, yeah, we can put that under here. I'll be your Pope, you know. I'll do what do you want me to do? Nothing, just leave me alone. I'm going to worship my ancestors. Okay, worship your ancestors. Enjoy yourself. You know, what do you need? You know, what do the other religions need? You know, the Jehovah Witnesses or whoever they are, you know, the Muslims. You know, I'll be your Pope. You know, I believe in your stuff, and we'll support you. We won't let people attack you, blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, But it'll encompass every kind of, quote, worship under the sun. And that they're going to call it unity. Mm. But the reason that they can't accept Christ,
yeah.
that the reason
yeah.
they're going to reject Christ is because some of the things, we can't worship Christ and worship your ancestors. It just doesn't work. So that's why they're going to say it's going to be an anti-Christ system, because Christ specifically identifies that you can't have any other God before me. We can't accept other gods. That's why it's anti-Christ. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And, man, the funny thing, like you say, sometimes when we talk, just things start popping up. But it's like right now when you talk, it's like when you say the word unity, and say, isn't it funny? You know, unity would sound like a good thing, of course. You know, but when it's in the world, it's not a good thing. It's like, and isn't it funny that the thing that God cursed the people of Babel when they were building the, you know, the tower.
And really,
they were in unity. They were in unity and they were building it.
Yeah.
And I love this verse because I just interpret it in my way, in a good way. But God said this in a negative way when he looked down and he said, look at the people. And he said, they are one. He said, and nothing that they put their mind to, I'll paraphrase it. But he says, man, look down at the people. They are one. And nothing that they put their mind to, it'll be impossible for them to do. So that's the funny thing. It's like you're sitting back and you're saying, okay, they're building and they're trying to reach high. And he said, come on, man, they're not going to reach high. But God himself looked down and said, man, nothing they put their mind to that they can't do. And what did he do? He dispersed that unity by giving them, changing their language. He dispersed their unity. And then now it seems that that's what we're gearing at. They're trying to form unity. They're trying to get back. It's like a body that's just been dispersed all around. And they're trying to bring that body back. They're trying to bring that body back to have the power.
Yeah.
And that's what it needs. It needs to connect. It needs to connect back. And it's been trying to connect since the days of Babel. And this is the time. It's connecting. It's gonna connect. And when it does, that's when God is going to strike, just like how he did in the days of Babel. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like while you're talking, it's just once you said unity, that's what popped in my head. I just went back to the days of Babel. And, man, I got to look into that some more. But that's what popped up, man.
Yeah, Babylon represents, you know, like you said, how strong the system can be. I mean, just think about that in the light of what happened with the election. You know, the Trumpers said that it was a stolen election. So in order, let's just say they're right. I know they did some things because God told me with the Caligula situation that they were gonna kill Caligula. And there wasn't anything anybody could do about it. So that's a pretty devastating thing. So they didn't kill Trump physically, but they killed him in some other ways. And so what they did was really bad. But it shows you that when they gathered together and unified themselves, how they can, you know, go in and do what they did, man. That was a big thing what they did. That showed me that what you're saying about Babylon, actually Babylon just manifested itself through that situation.
Yeah.
And Trump is like going,
man,
I knew Babylon was bad, but I didn't know it was that bad. You know, like even he was surprised. You know, he had a lot of attack. He has probably been the one who's received more, threats from the system than anybody, because he bucked against it. That's what I loved about it. He bucked against it better than anybody. But the problem is he's bucking against it without something to back him up, and that is the church. The church was for him, but he's trying to incorporate that into a system, our democratic system, which is the best in the world at the time, but it's not God's system. Therefore, it can't function. And God says, that's over, because I'm going to set up, you know, what happened was, Donald, is that God showed us, God pulled the curtains back. It says, watch the system work now that they're in unity. They were they were so mad at Trump, they came so unified against Trump that they had people who hated each other on the other side who said, "We hate Trump. You hate Trump. Yeah, we hate you, but we hate Trump first. So let's." And they gathered together, and they did that thing, and they did it very well, I might add.
Yeah.
As far as you know,
yeah.
Not,
and it's like
they don't even give a rip. Like, who knows about it? They don't care.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. They're doing it in our face, but it's like Trump was the igniter. It's like he ignited
exactly.
Them. Like, it's like, yeah, it's like he was. I mean, it's I'm not saying like you know God did it on purpose. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that it would seem that for the purpose of God come to fruition that. Yeah, like, you know how people say, yeah, God chose Trump. Yeah, he did. But you might be thinking of your way and saying, yeah, he chose Trump, yeah, to bring up America, make it great. And I mean, in a way, yeah. But God did it for his plan to go through. That's just all part of the plan that, yes,
that's right.
It's going to be Trump. He's going to ignite him. And then now we can fast forward to what we need to get to.
Hey, I like that. We're gonna use that. We're gonna say, Donald said God used Trump to ignite them, to unite them. Dude, that's hot. I like that. It's kind of your thing, my thing together, mixed together. Like God used Donald says God used Trump to ignite them. So they would unite, and that's true. That's exactly what happened. You can't say it any better than that. He used them. They were so mad at him. They hated him so bad that even the people that they listen to this man with what went on with what was his name, Bernie Sanders, and that whole crew. You know what that crew is like.
Yeah.
The really left. I mean, the left and the rights, even on their side, were just getting together going, "Yeah, we hate Trump. You hate Trump. Yeah, we hate Trump. We hate you, but we hate Trump more than you."
Yeah.
So they like you said, they got God ignited them. He got them inflamed with hate, so that they would unite, and then God could take this thing to the next level. That's probably the best interpretation I've ever seen. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it seems to happen, man. And
that is what happened.
When you talk about, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. The funny thing, when you're talking about when I first got on the call and you're just saying, like, it's just, I believe that totally, what you said, because you said Thursday when you prophesied over me that I think you were saying just, like, who you listen to is, you know, it's connected with your purpose.
Yeah.
And so if you're listening to the wrong person, you know, it interferes with your purpose and things like that. And
right.
And I believe that. I believe that because I'm receiving message. I'm receiving revelation and things I never thought about, but it's making sense. It's connecting. It's opening my mind to different things. And even just how I connected with this ministry, it was crazy. You know, and that's why it's like everything is just working. It's like a puzzle. It's just like a puzzle. It's just like, man, if I never would have went through what I went through, I would have never found this ministry. I wouldn't have never found Randy. Like, I wouldn't have never connected. Like, I wouldn't have found this. Like, I had to go through like what I was going through at the time and to connect me. So it's like, and that has stayed. Like, you know, I have stayed with this ministry since that time. Like, since I was open to it, I heard about it, and once I connected with you, it's like that's it. I've been there. Like, I've been connecting and receiving the revelation that God has given you, and now and I'm receiving it, and I'm just munching on it, and you know, and it's transforming me. You know, even with the words that you give me, everything all in one is just been a life changing moment. And even before I got on the call, I told Tanya, I was telling Tanya, I said, man, I said, man, I just feel like I'm about to walk in my purpose. Like, that's what I told Tanya. I just said, I don't know why. Like, I said, because she was like, yeah. And I said, no, I'm not just saying it just to say it. I said, I actually feel like that because things has been sort of changing a little bit. Like, real small, but I could notice and I could feel it. Like, things been, like, sort of changing. Like, people been coming to me. Yeah. I've been having certain talks with people, like, in-depth talks and where, in a way, it's like I'm counseling. Like I've been counseling more, like, lately. Like, people just been calling, you know, and just talking. Yeah, so I've been noticing, like, even my father. Like, my father, we've been having talks and, you know, and I've been talking and, you know, like, or giving him advice and what the Holy Spirit is telling me and different things. And I was just sitting back. I said, man, I can feel like there's something that's changing, something in the air, but something is going on. And I, you know, I'm just letting God do what he's doing, but I can feel it. And that's why I was telling her, I said, man, I just feel like I'm about, like, this is a moment, like, it doesn't look on the surface. It doesn't look like anything is really going on, but I know, like, cause what the conversations I just been having with people lately.
Yeah.
And I just like, man, why people are, you know, why am I having these conversations? Like, it's been deep conversations, like, with people, like, deep conversations. And I have those moments before, and, you know, sometimes it stops and whatever, but now it's just been coming back where it's like,
wow.
I don't know. I've been attracting people to just have, like, deep conversations, and people are just like, even if I'm at the job, if we're just working, and somebody would just start talking to me about, and they'll always say, I don't tell nobody else this, man, but Don, I'm gonna tell you this, like, boom. And then we're just having a conversation where I'm able to, well, let's just say, minister to them, because you're asking me questions, you're asking me about something that's about your life, and it's giving me the opportunity to, okay, I'm gonna give you my perspective, and my perspective is mixed with the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. It is God. It is the Bible. So I'm going to give you that particular perspective. So it's allowing me to give somebody that's not even saved, like, you know, a different perspective that they never heard and they never hear.
Wow.
And where is that coming from? That's coming from God. You know, that's coming from God. Because if you ask me and you like, man, I never heard that. Or, man, okay, well, you know, well, hey, that's coming from God. That's not coming from me. You never heard this from somebody else. If I'm talking to you and you know I'm a Christian, you know how I am. So you got to hit something in your mind that, man, this guy is a little different. He's coming at it. He's not answering with a worldly answer. He's answering it with a more deeper. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, that's exciting. That's very, very exciting. That means you're moving into – the more you find out who you are and what your purpose is, like we talk about, the revelation is what opens you up to your purpose, then you walk in real authority. Then people go like, now, who are you? Like, you've been around for a long time, but all of a sudden I want to say, now, where did you come from? Who are you? Because they can't figure out what's going on with you because you're different. You're not like Jesus was not like anybody else. When you start getting revelation about Jesus, you turn into the real you, and real people, Donald, are real rare, you know, where they really become the real them.
Yeah.
When you start walking in revelation of who you are is what your calling is, that's when you discover the real you, and the real you comes forth. It comes with authority, just automatically, because all of a sudden you start knowing. What do you know? Well, I know that I don't know exactly every detail of my calling, but I know what God's showing me, and what God shows me leads me into my destiny, step by step. And when you start walking into the step by step thing, you're walking in authority, and people recognize something's different. Same thing happened to me, exactly.
Yeah.
Same thing, exactly.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, people are like going, now, we know you're Randy Chandler, but you're not the Randy Chandler we used to know. What happened to you? I mean, literally, and I wasn't trying to pump it or push it. They're just like going, we don't even know who are you? Because you talk different. You are different because you walk, you talk. They said about Jesus, they said, he's different because he speaks with authority. When the scribes and all those guys, they just kind of talk. But when he says something, now listen to this, dude. Listen to this. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Because when you're walking in your purpose, talk with a purpose. And when you talk with a purpose, people start going, I'm feeling my purpose just while I'm talking to you. Why do I feel I've got a purpose by just talking to you? But you know why? Because you're starting to walk in your purpose.
Amen.
Dude, that's hot. Yeah. That's some hot stuff right
there. Yeah, I feel it.
That's some hot stuff right there. My God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, and Thursday, while you were prophesying on the communion and you were prophesying over me, you mentioned that was so crazy. You mentioned prophetic counselor like that. And I'm like, man, I never really heard of that. You had me like going back to, you know, study the definition. Like studying the definition, like, okay, what is a prophetic counselor? But that's the funny thing, because like I just said, like I heard, now the funny thing is I heard you say prophetic counselor, but I didn't really put the two and two together. It's just now I'm talking to you and I said, man, it's like I've been counseling people more lately. And now I just remember that, yeah, you did say prophetic counselor. So I guess that's what's been going on. It's been like prophetic counseling going on.
Yeah. You know what the prophetic is? The prophetic is all about purpose. Dude, all my life, without even knowing why, when I talk to people, I was more interested in what you think your purpose is. And I couldn't figure out, I mean, I'm a heathen, and I'm thinking this, right? I'm thinking, well, you know what? So when I got saved, I found my purpose, you know, Jesus helped me. Then all of a sudden, you know, I'm like going, I really was into purpose big time. So as a prophet, that's what prophets do. Prophets bring people into their place to where they find their purpose, because it's like with me, all of a sudden now I have a purpose. For the first, what changed me that everybody couldn't figure out what was wrong with me is that I completely changed, because now I talk like I was going somewhere. Before I just kind of talk, yeah, hey, yeah, man, hey, what's up, yeah. And when I talk to people, they're just kind of like, yeah, Randy got much going on. He just kind of laid back, you know. Like, and they didn't realize it was not laid back at all. It was more of I had nowhere to go. I didn't know where to go. But once I found out where I was going to go, people started going, now, who are you again? I know you're Randy Chandler, but who? And you're not the same Randy Chandler I used to know, because when you talk, you don't talk like him. You talk completely, and it scared them. It literally scared people, because I'm talking with purpose for the first time in my life, and it totally changed the way I was about everything. People started coming to me out of the blue, asking me, can you pray for me? I'm going, yeah, we'll pray for you. I really don't pray for people that much. I mean, I pray, but I don't pray for people that much. Okay, I pray for you. I start praying for them, stumbling around, you know, blah, 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 okay, job, blessing with their child, blessing with their family, blessing with their... And I start saying things, and when I get through praying, they'd be going like, how did you know all that? And I, honest to God, Donald, didn't have a clue what they were talking about. You know, like they think I knew. I said, and I was confused. I kind of went, pardon me? I mean, like, what do you, what? Know what? About what? You know, because I didn't even know really what I was saying. But when you walk in purpose, dude, you unravel people, because everything you say, even in your prayers, has purpose to it. So when they get through listening to you pray, and you didn't really, I didn't really know if I was praying anything specific, they said, man, you know, I mean, I've just been thinking about all that lately. I said, thinking about what? You know, what you just said. I said, what did I just say? And they said, wait. And they said, you know, that, now, oh, that? That was, and because it came with designated purpose, it hit the nail on the head, even though it wasn't really that specific. It shook them. They went, what? What was that? Yeah. And that all had to do with when I found my purpose, I talked with purpose, even when I didn't know I was talking with purpose. It just came out of me. Yeah. And that's what prophets do. That the prophetic counsel is speaking with purpose. It's speaking with a designed purpose. Even though you don't know what the designed purpose is, it comes out of you and it gets on people, and they just go like something different when you talk. I mean, somebody else just said the same thing to me down there, but when you said it, there's just something what happened? What did you do to me? I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. You know, what are you talking about? And so that's what happens. You know, like Jesus walked in his purpose every day. Mm. And when you walk in purpose, everything you say comes with, it gets people's attention to one degree or the other. That's really awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Good stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, Randy, before I go, I just, you know, of course, I have to take care of my lovely wife, Tanya.
You're talking into a barrel. I can barely hear you for some reason. I don't know why it's going to.
No, I was saying if you could take Tanya before I get off.
Yes. Yes, and I thought I heard the preacher man preaching in the background a while ago. Okay. He was trying to communicate to me. Yeah, okay. I just making sure that was him. I knew it was him, but I heard him. I heard him trying to get into the conversation. Yeah, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
All right. All right, let's pray for Tanya, and then I'll let you go. And we'll pray for All right. I'm going to go ahead and mute you. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Tanya, God. We thank you, God, for when people walk in purpose, Lord, they sometimes they live in a place of not knowing where they're going, and they can't get a and that's called walking by faith. And you're teaching Tanya how to walk by faith. Walking by faith and walking with purpose doesn't always mean you know exactly everywhere you're going, because when you're following somebody that knows where they're going, you can't stop them every 5 miles and say, you know, you sure you know where you're going? I mean, Jesus, you know, I mean, we're following you. You know that, right? We're right here. Where are we going? He says, just trust me. So sometimes, Tanya, trusting God and following him is like sometimes when I prophesy to people here on the show, and if I go on a trip, which I often do, I go on a little trip, a little trip in my mind of God speaking to me, because that's how God speaks. He speaks in your spirit to your mind, and your mind gets pictures and goes on trips. That's what I go on trips. And so when I go on a trip, I never know where I'm going. I speak it out as it comes to me, and I know I'm going somewhere, but I do not know where I'm going. All I know is that I'm following him. That's all I know. And people have a real problem with that, because they think, most people think, Tanya, that they're supposed to feel like they always know where they're going all the time. And if they don't, it's scary, and it is. So walking by faith is following someone to somewhere where you're not sure exactly where it's going to end up, but you're trusting him, because that's what your relationship with him does, Tanya, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, is that it's just that you're following him. And even if he told you where he's going, you probably wouldn't believe it, because neither would I. If he would have told me, Randy, you're following me into the future, into this place, I'm going to take you, and I'd have been going like, you know, honestly, Holy Spirit, I think that maybe you got the wrong Randy. I'm supposed to be going, you know, I know I'm going to be doing some cool stuff, but it ain't, I don't think it's going to be that cool. I don't think it's going to be that big. I don't think it's going to be like, you know, I don't know. I don't think so. Well, yeah, you know, I know you'll be healing evangelists, Randy, but that's not it. Yeah, I'm helping you because I love you and I'm with you in your healing ministry, but you're called to be a prophet, and therefore, eventually, that's going to change, and you're going to end up prophesying. And if he had told me that back then, I would have told him, you do not know where you're going. Please get an update on the real Randy Chandler. Here's my fingerprints, and here's who I really am, because I would have never thought I was going to go there. But because I loved him, Tanya, like you love Jesus, like you love the Holy Spirit, like you love the Father, you follow him not always knowing where you're going. The Bible talks about the word is a lamp unto your feet. And when it says a lamp, a friend of mine brought this up to me, a good friend of mine. He said, you know what that lamp to your feet means? He said, it doesn't show you way down the road. It shows you one step at a time, maybe two. That's what a lamp, the word is a lamp unto thy feet. We think a lamp to our feet is, okay, God, oh, yeah, well, that's where we're going. But no, it's step by step by step. And that helps us to relax more. It helps us to trust more. It helps us to enter in, Tanya, to that place where we don't struggle so much. And I just struggle so much. I still struggle some. But I used to struggle a lot going, you know, like Joseph, man, this ain't going where I thought it was. I thought I'd be back in Canaan by then. I thought in Potiphar, you know, when that woman lied on me, I thought they'd probably just kick me out and I'd go back home. And, you know, but it's getting worse. I mean, I'm going further away from my purpose with my daddy and, you know, and my brothers are going to bow down to me. How are they going to bow down to me over here? They're not going to come here. Their land is Canaan land. It's not their land. Didn't make any sense to him at all. It was totally backwards. So he had to come to that place to where, I'm just going to keep my eyes on God. I know God loves me. I love God. I'm called by God. I've been chosen by God. He showed me I'm favored by him. And I'm just going to trust him. And every day, he had to do it every day. Talk about a lamp unto your feet. Joseph had that ministry going on more than anybody because he was going totally backwards to where he thought he was supposed to be going, totally backwards. He got further into Egypt prison after that, further away from his home, closer to the gods of Egypt and to Pharaoh and the whole thing. He was thrown into a special prison. And it's like, you know, what am I doing here? Now it's worse. Now I'm further away from home. Now it's worse. Now it's bad. Now, I'm here because they lied about me before I was here because in the other place, in Potiphar's place, because my brothers rejected me and despised me and hated me. You know, that's why I was there. Now I'm here because somebody lied about me. It's even worse. So God has a way of getting us places that we don't think we can go, and he takes us there step by step. So I thank you, Jesus, for helping Tanya to, just like you did with me little by little over the years, I learned to just, okay, God, you know, he always uses you where you're at, even if you're not in the right, in the perfect place, not the right place, but the perfect place, right? He still uses you. He used Joseph, even though he wasn't in the perfect place yet. Where was the perfect place? Well, it was being with, ruling with Pharaoh. So he was with Potiphar, raised up quick because what? God blessed him where he was at, even though it wasn't the perfect place yet. So let God bless you, Tanya, in the imperfect place, like he did with Joseph, until you come to the perfect place and trust him little by little, day by day, as I know you do already, but he's going to show you how to trust him more and more and more all the time. And it's going to help your everyday life. It's going to help your faith life and to come to a whole other level of faith in Jesus, to a whole other level of destiny and purpose. Just knowing that, you know, God's not going to tell you. It's like he didn't tell Joseph. Why didn't let me ask you something, y'all, everybody, including Tanya and Donald. Why didn't God just tell Joseph, hey, man, you're going to be here in prison for about 10 years, and then you're going to rule the world with Joseph, with Pharaoh? Huh? I mean, come on. Why wasn't God being gracious to him and telling him this is what was going to happen to him? Well, number one, he probably wouldn't have believed it because he's not supposed to be in Egypt. He's supposed to be in Canaan with his brothers honoring him for being the greatest crop grower in town. But no, you know, he's over here, right? So you think it would be nice of God to say, okay, give him a dream and he's going to rule with Pharaoh. Well, he already really did. When the son of Men bowed, that was Pharaoh. This Pharaoh was the sun god of Egypt. And the moon was the people of Israel, Egypt. People of Egypt, study for yourself. It's exactly what God told him. God had already told him. And even though he heard about the sun god every day, he never connected the sun god dream that he had of the sun and the moon bowing down to him. He never connected the sun god, which is what they called Pharaoh every day, and the moon, which is the type of Egypt. Every day. I mean, that stuff is there all the time. And yet he did not connect it. You know why? Because God didn't want it to yet. He wanted him to learn to walk by faith because that was all preparation for where he was going. And he struggled, and it was tough. And yet God raised him up. All right, let's go here to 623-282. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please? And bless those babies, Jesus. Bless those babies with Donald and Tanya, God. Amen. All right. I think this is Carmen from Texas.
Yes, it is. God bless you, Prophet.
Hey. Hey, you too.
How are you?
Hey, it's Monday, and I've been pretty good, really, for a Monday, so it's pretty good so far. I'm doing pretty good. All right, let's pray for you. I'm going to meet you just for a second. And let's pray for our friend Carmen from Texas. And thank you, Jesus, for Carmen. Lord, I thank you for the livelihood, for her livelihood. I can get it. She got the word livelihood. Livelihood, is that, what does that have to do with? That has to do with your living, maybe, your money. Livelihood, I think livelihood, I think what means livelihood. Just look it up here. Meaning of livelihood. Google that. See where this is going. Livelihood is a means of securing the necessities of life. Okay. People whose livelihoods depend on the rainforest. Okay. As an example. Okay. A means of securing the necessities of life. Wow. Okay. What does livelihood mean? Let's look it up here. Livelihood is a means of making a living. It encompasses people's capabilities, assets, income, and activities required to secure the necessities of life. Let me read that again. That's pretty cool. A livelihood is a means of making a living. It encompasses people's capabilities. Now, listen to this. It encompasses Carmen's capabilities, Carmen's assets, Carmen's income, and Carmen's activities required to secure the necessities of life. Okay. All right. And that's the word I got. I mean, instantly, as soon as I talked to you, I heard the word livelihood. And that was pretty correct. That was pretty close to that. Other things for livelihood is living, occupation, resources, business, employment, career, subsistence, maintenance, bread and butter. I like that one. Bread and butter and sustenance. Yeah, so this is what's up for you. I don't think I can say anything better than that, and I don't know if I can add any more to that than the word livelihood. Really cool. That's kind of what I thought it meant, but I thought it might mean some other things, but so obviously God's been preparing you and making you, shaping you, forming you for your livelihood that you're entering into. Maybe you've already entered into it. I don't know. Your livelihood. So your source of income, your resources, it's like God's opening that up. And it's according to your substance, your faith even, you could say, if you spiritualize this information, capabilities for the capabilities that God has put within you, assets, income, and so like when we're givers, when we give to God with our income, we give to God with our love, we give to God with our prayer and our worship, and give to God with our worship, whatever he wants us to do thing, then, he pays us for that. So I have a feeling there's something about the Holy Ghost livelihood. So I don't think I can say anything after that much. That's pretty cool. Wow. Interesting.
Again,
so something's happening. Do what?
You're on target, Randy. You are
really?
On target,
what happened?
Randy.
No way. I don't believe it.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Prove
it's
it.
A long story. I hope you're ready to listen. Been praying, I've been praying for something more solid with more money, and God did open the doors for that. And
really?
I don't remember, let me bring you back to, I think, about a year or less than a year ago. You had prophesied over me that God would give me a job that would pay me $21, right? Well,
I remember something like that.
Well, it didn't quite come out like that, but close. And you'll understand why, because sometimes we hear, but we don't know everything, what we're hearing and where to put it. I laugh because,
for sure.
When these things were happening, all I could think about was you prophesying to me. And, I got this job, and it was over that amount. But it was I started on the 21st doing on
oh,
the
really?
April 21st. It's 21-21, okay? And I thought about
God.
You with the 21, right? It wasn't the amount. I got more than that, but it was on the day. the 21st, 21.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
really?
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's a good job. I don't know for how long, but it is an open door for other opportunities, just like you mentioned. And it's been wild,
wow.
And it's crazy, like crazy, crazy. I have to get up at 4 in the morning, and that's why I don't really get on the show, because it's, you know, early, early hours.
Right.
It's crazy work. It's constantly changing. Other people are getting so stressed, but because I know I'm supposed to be in it, I am not stressed. I love it. I love it. I know that I'm supposed to be there, because I know that it was God that put me there. And so, but the enemy is a liar. He likes to always put his nose in it. But that's okay. A coworker I believe she has COVID, and she was sick around us. She got me sick, so I end up with COVID.
Oh,
but
no.
It hasn't affected Randy. It hasn't affected me. I had like my
really
own, like Saturday, and it broke on Sunday. It broke.
Wow,
and I'm fine. I spring cleaning on my 10 days of quarantine. That's all I'm doing. I even called my doctor, because I need a doctor's note, and the nurse asked me, you know, well, how do you feel? And I go, well, I'm spring cleaning. She goes, what, really? She couldn't believe that I was, you know.
That's funny. That is
so
hilarious.
I was like, the Lord, I need time to clean the house, Lord. Everything I need to weed, the front yard and the backyard, Lord. So God has given me the time during this quarantine to do all that and catch up with everything else.
Wow.
So, I mean, what the enemy meant for evil, God is turning it around for my good. So I could catch up with other things and rest, because it was wild. It is wild. That job is wild. I mean, 12-hour shift. That's how
bad. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, yeah, we have 12-hour shifts, and it's like 5 days a week. And they want more out of us. But that's okay, because the pay is good, and it helps me to catch up with all the lost time. But I just wanted to tell you that you didn't get the amount. It went over the amount you mentioned.
Oh,
but it was
great.
On the 21st, the number you mentioned. And I was like, wow.
That is really wild. So that just happened this month, the 21st of this month, or when?
Well, I was working with the company before that in a different position. But then when the 20th came, the next day they told me, well, we have this position open. Will you, here, sign this, and you can start doing this job. And it was more than that amount, and it was on the 21st.
Wow, that's amazing. 21.
Yes. But now I have like 10 days, because I was working before, but I have now 10 days I have to quarantine. But that's okay. I got to catch up with other stuff, you know, because I got to do the, you know, and I'll be fine.
So, that way you'll go to work, you know, with all that behind you.
Right.
So tonight, as soon as you get on, I mean, as soon as I heard your voice, I heard the word livelihood, just like that. Boom! You heard me. You heard it. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's happening with you. I didn't have a clue what went on the 21st. You didn't tell me. I didn't know that. And so I get on here and I'm going livelihood. I think that has something to do with you're making a living. I don't know. Let me make sure here. And I'm looking it up on Google, you know, just to make sure. And sure enough, that's pretty amazing. That's confirmation, man. That is beautiful.
Well, it's really. But that opened up for me, and I was like, wow. And this job will open up other opportunities too. So you were right about that. Everything you said, it was right on. It was right on.
That is funny.
I'm laughing while you're talking.
Well, that's better than crying. That is awesome.
I know that I'm supposed to be where I'm at, but you know the enemy will always try, you know. He'll either use somebody or use something. He'll always try. But
oh, yeah.
When
always.
For you, who can be against you? Nobody. When God is going to give it to you, it's for you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And with the
so
prophecy
awesome.
That you prophesied before, that helped me to, you know, oh, no, I'm not going to let this get me down. I know that God's going to supply, like he's always done. He's always supplied every need.
Wow. So this word tonight about your livelihood going to a whole other level and your resources changing, everything, the business. I mean, I Googled the word livelihood, as you know. And so it just kind of like, you know, yeah, so that's amazing. That's really cool. I always wonder how that works, you know. I mean, even though I do it all the time, I always wonder, how does that work? You know, I mean, I know it works by the Holy Spirit, but does it come off the people? You know, like when I hear the voice, like when I heard your voice, I instantly heard the word livelihood, just like that. Just like when you said, hello, Prophet Randy, I'm going, the word livelihood, just like, boom, just like that. And so, you know, I always wondered, is that coming off of them? Because the Holy Spirit's coming off of them saying, you know, I got livelihood. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I really wish I understood it, but either way, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I understand because it happens to me when I prophesy. Sometimes you don't understand everything that you're saying, but that's okay because we're the vessels. We don't need to know everything. The person that's receiving the prophecy is the one that needs to, you know, search it out because sometimes it's not all clear at the moment. It might be for later or to confirm at the moment of something that's going on, that they know that God loves them, that God is with them. And so it could be for many different reasons why God gives a certain way of prophesying. So, yeah, I understand that so well.
Yeah, you
sometimes
do.
Sometimes he'll give you an image. Like one time I prophesied over somebody on PGN, and he was showing me an old car. And I described it with the color, and the lady goes, yeah, I have one just like that in the garage.
Oh, really?
Like,
wow.
Yeah, I guess maybe that she knew that I was working in our midst and that, you know, that he loved her and that every detail about her that he knew. And I was like, wow, that's weird.
That is really weird, good weird. That's awesome weird.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, for me it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
What?
I know. I feel
the
same way. When it happens to me, you know, I do it all the time, you know, I mean, as far as, you know, different levels of different prophetic, but you always, it's always amazing to me every time. I'm like, oh, really? You know, like, and even though, you know, 4,555 words coming in, like, really? You know, even you're still like, you know, it's just so amazing that God can still use you in your, you know, I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. I'm always amazed. So I'm so glad to hear that when I heard live.
Yeah, or even in prayer, God can also reveal to you what a demon is operating in a person's life. You know, that's all part of prophecy. And intercession, it also works in there because God reveals through prophecy what's going on. And, you know, how many times have I been intercession and I'll see something I don't understand? And then I go, wait a minute, and then the Holy Spirit just pops in my spirit the understanding of what I'm seeing.
Yep.
So, I mean, the Holy Spirit is amazing. God is amazing.
He's amazing. He is amazing.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Yeah, we just need to open up the opportunity for him to use us. If we can just open up the opportunity for him. That's what PGN tries to be, is a place where people can come in and learn to flow, you know, if they don't know how to flow yet or just start flowing or, you know, develop their flowing. That's really what we're here for, you know. And so it's really cool. Yeah, that's really awesome. So livelihood was literal tonight. Like, that's literally, like, your livelihood just opened up. And so
but it closed down with COVID because they're not going to pay me for that. But I know that God's going to take care of it.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, in Jesus' name, they are going to pay that. In Jesus' name, we just declare and decree that right now, Father, by the name of Jesus.
Oh, and I receive it.
Yeah, go after them, God. Get make them be just and fair. And they're always talking about, oh, we want to help and give and help everybody. And then when it comes down to some things, they like, you know, tighten up and close up. But we just don't go. We don't go for that. You know, justice of God. Let the justice of God rule and reign. Awesome.
Yes, we don't put God in the box.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, if we put him in there, he just breaks loose. So whatever. Yeah, I put God in the box yesterday, and he said, "Randy, I let you put me in there for about 3 seconds, and then I just kind of jumped out just to kind of spook you." I went, "Yeah, thanks a lot." Just to let you know, you may think you had me in a box. I may let you put me in a box for about 3 seconds, and then I'm going to jump out, and I'm going to, you know, surprise you and show you you can't keep doing this. Hey, don't put me in a box. Yeah, it is easy to put God in a box, that's for sure. Especially in some areas, I do it less than others, you know. Go ahead.
You mentioned the last time I spoke to you, you prophesied something about cursing things. And I have been cursing. I've been cursing the COVID. Every time it tries to rear its head with a little symptom or whatever, and it goes back down, and I keep on doing whatever I got to do.
I didn't understand that word when I – yeah.
Yeah. Now it makes sense.
It does.
I didn't understand it.
Me either. I'm going like, what does that mean? You know, when I get work, I'm usually in the back of my brain, I'm going like, oh, man, what does that mean? You know, like everybody thinks I know what it means. And so I started saying, yeah, you're going to be cursing systems, cursing, you know, things that don't, you know, that don't need to be. Just like Jesus cursed the fig tree, you know, the roots of the fig tree.
Doing, cursed it to the roots.
that's amazing.
That it died.
Yeah,
and that's
wow.
That's if anybody gets sick, that's what you got to do. You got to curse that COVID in you to the roots, that it dies in Jesus' name.
I love that. I love that. That's awesome. Yeah, just curse that thing.
Yeah.
Well, don't want to go to the doctor. Curse it, you know. And then when it goes away, then go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, I cursed it and it's gone." He went, "You did what?" Yeah.
Call me up. I wanted to see if I could get an infusion for my immune system because of my age, because I'm a senior citizen, right? So I was like, but I'm cleaning house. I'm doing this and that. And she goes, oh, you know, she was like shocked. She goes, so you don't have this and you don't have this. I go, no, you're pretty healthy then. And I'm like, yes. So
wow.
They were calling me to infusion. I was like, I don't think so.
That
and I haven't
got
the
vaccine
either.
Yeah, I haven't either. Well, I don't get vaccines or flu shots or anything. I'm not against people doing it, but I just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my testimony. I just don't do it. I haven't been told by God not to, you know, for other people not to do anything. He told me not to do it.
Yeah.
That's the instructions that I've had for a long time. So yeah.
All right. You gotta let them do it. You know, if that's what God is leading them, but I don't do it because I've studied for many years. You know, how it affects children and their learning process because of the vaccines and things like that. But, I mean, everybody has to, the Holy Spirit, you know, it's different for each person. So, but for me, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I tell people, you know, like we had somebody came on the show the other night, Barbara from Texas. I haven't heard from Barbara in a long time. And she's had back operations, and she's no young chick either. I mean, she's, you know, I don't know how old she is. She's not as old as I am, I don't think, but she said she took it, you know, and I went, well, I said, I'm glad we finally had somebody on here that actually took it. You know, I said, I'm not going to take it, but I'm glad we got somebody who did, you know, just to know, you know, with Barbara. And so, you know, so that's the way I deal with it. You know, if somebody has a conviction that they can take it, if God tells them that they can take it, then if something's bad in it, then the Bible says we can drink deadly things and have deadly things. If God tells you, it's a whole different thing. It's a whole different thing. You can, you know, so that's why I don't instruct people and put my conviction on
them. Yeah, you can't go against your conviction, what you're feeling led, because if you go against that, that's sin in before God. So each person has to follow what the Holy Spirit leads them to do, because it can be different. It can be totally different. So, yeah you're
can.
Right.
It really
can.
Yeah, that's just the way I do it, and I've had some people get mad at me about that a little bit, but I think they get over it pretty quick, hopefully. I just don't want to be – I don't want to dictate people. Now, if God tells me something, like when he told me, you know, after Biden became, you know, on the 11th, on the 7th of November when they said Biden won and nobody else thought he won, and then God told me to tell everybody that Trump's not going to do anything, that's a whole different thing, you know. I'm not telling them not to go for Trump or try to go for Trump. I'm just saying that he's not going to win any of his – he wasn't going to win any of his lawsuits. He had like 60 of them, you know. When you get a word from God, you're not even telling people – I don't even tell people – I'm not saying I voted for Trump. I said, I'm not telling you to vote or not vote for anybody. I'm just saying this is what the Lord told me. Do whatever you want. Do whatever your conscience tells you. And so, you know, that's the way I look at it. That way we're not dictators. We speak
forth
the word of the Lord, and we give people the right to, you know, do what God tells them. In it. And if they're wrong, then you know we look at it like, well, I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry you had to go through that, but you know, we're with you. You know, we don't turn on people because they don't do what we say. God said, you know, even God gives people a chance to do whatever they want.
Right.
He doesn't even tell them what to do. He says, this is what I recommend. This is what's going to happen. You can believe it or not, or go for it or not. And when you don't, God doesn't go, okay, you're going to hell because you didn't. You know, he says, okay, he'll be with you in your mistake. He'll be with you in your failure. You just have to, you know, admit it to him, and that's all that matters. But we can't be dictators. We're lovers of people, and we're in the image of Christ Jesus. And Christ was not a dictator. He said, "I didn't come to judge. I came to save people."
That's right.
And if they mess up, I want to save them, not send them to hell because they messed up. I want to change them because they messed up. So that's what I believe. That's where I'm at. That's what Jesus
and I see. And each person is at a different level, too, you know, of their growth. So they have to learn to grow with their relationship with the Lord. And there's things that God will take them individually that he won't take us as we grow older in him. So, I mean, we can also be a stumbling block if we tell other people what to do because, you know, God doesn't want them to follow us. He wants them to follow him. So that's basically what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah,
oh, and another
exactly.
thing about the Pope, you mentioned something
about
the Pope. He's already
uniting
people, different religions. He's already going through meetings.
Okay.
It's all on YouTube that he's uniting with other religions and trying to make one order of religion. So that's all.
Yeah.
For everybody to see online, I mean, videos and stuff like that. Though, so I'm making none of this up. This has been going on for years. Yeah.
Right, and I think that's where it's going.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that I think that's where it's actually already gone there, but it's just going to manifest itself. I think people are going to see, you know, that the Pope is going to play that role and that God. Just like when Peter, James, and John and Jesus said we're not of the old Levitical system, just I think people are going to come out of the Catholic Church too, is saying, well, you know, we're not with that anymore. There's something new going on, and I think we're going to see that. And but the Catholic Church is pretty well set up for the global already, so I'm pretty sure it's going to be the false prophet. I mean, in my opinion, it already is, but. It will really be manifest when the Antichrist, you know, needs. You have to have somebody who deals with religion. Everybody's got to have religion. You know, we're made to have religion. You know, so to speak, we're all made for that. And when you try to do away with that with people, it messes them up. So even if they're worshiping the wrong god, they have something in them that wants to worship a god or have a god. You know, so even though it's a wrong one, they have to do something. And so they've learned that over the years that, you know, they're going to let people worship whatever god they want. We just approve of it, even, you know. But the reason it's Antichrist, as I've said before, Antichrist, when you speak of Christ and you say Antichrist, you're specifically saying that you can't be a Muslim and be saved without Jesus. So because mm-hmm. we believe that, that's why that system is Antichrist, because Christ mm-hmm. says, mm-hmm. I am the only way. And that's why they're going to hate it, and it can't be a part of it, because it can't inclusive everybody. You have to come through Christ or you don't come. Period.
Exactly.
So mm-hmm. if anybody comes up with anything else, that's not going to work. That's what they're going to do, and it sounds like to me the Catholic Church, the priest, not the Catholic people, but the priests are going to do that. They've already done it. So they're going to work it more and develop it and work together with the Antichrist. Hopefully soon we'll be able to tell you who that guy is. He's not in the news. He's not. You can't find him in the news. He's not in the news. These people who are really big, really important people, you don't ever hear of them. Hardly ever.
No.
And so that's the way this guy is. I watch him. I keep up with him. And he's not out there trying to get attention. He already knows who he is, to a certain degree. And so, his family has a covenant with Satan. Was made many, many years ago. And his grandfather, talked about this last week, his grandfather was a biologist who studies DNA. And, and they had the money to research all this stuff out. So I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. I don't have a word from the Lord on this, but I would not be surprised at all to find out that the Antichrist guy, his family has copyrighted this whole thing about the DNA, because his grandfather was a major researcher in biology and all the stuff, the DNA and the whole thing. Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if they basically have a, copyrighted it, or however you want to say it. They have the rights to it or whatever.
Well, think about seeds, Randy, where they go into the DNA of the seeds. The world seeds, what we're dealing with, Monsanto and all these important people that have a piece of the pie in order to control the seed of the world. They deal with the DNA of plants, and they can put human DNA into plants, fish, and of things that are not natural to that plant. So mess around with the DNA at all kinds of levels. Not only the human levels, plant levels, and different things. God knows what other stuff is out there that they use DNA with that's not natural. But, and it's part of control. It's to control the world. It's to control the world.
In the Bible, very clearly, even though this man is a Jew and his family is Jewish, they're going against what Moses, Moses is the one who kind of said about mixing animals, mixing this, mixing that. I mean, that's very clear in the Torah, in the Word, in the law. Very clear in the when you read it. It's very clear, and you understand why that law cannot pass away, because that's just the way it is. You don't mix certain things. When you mix them, you end up with a beast or with a creepy thing. And they've been doing that anyway, even though he's a Jew. He's not honoring that. He's not, like the Bible says, that he's not going to honor the beliefs of his fathers. One of the things it says about the Antichrist is that he's not going to honor, his father, the Jewish culture, the Jewish law, the Torah. He's not going to honor that. That's what the Bible says. He will not honor his fathers. I can't exactly how the word says it, but he will not honor his fathers.
His ancestry.
The Jewish culture. His ancestry, he's not going to go with that.
His forefathers.
Forefathers. The forefathers. With the Moses and all the Jew, the Torah, and they talk about all that. Don't mix any of that stuff. And when you mix it, you end up with something that's going to mess up. And that's why it's going to be the beast. And the Bible literally says that the Antichrist is not going to honor the laws of his forefathers. I'm not going to look it up right now, but I got to move on. But that's what it says, and that's exactly what they're going to do. So So kind of creepy. All right. I guess I'm going to move on. Congratulations on your livelihood.
Thank you, Prophet Randy. God bless you.
That's so awesome. Okay, thank you too, Carmen. Yes. All right, thank you so much. All right, I'm going to move on. I just enjoy talking to God's people. You know, I really love it. All right, 325-721, you want to talk to Rick Hunt, please?
This is Hunter from Texas.
Hey, Hunter. You got back from your trip. All right, let me pray for you first. Let's do that, and then we can talk. Thank you, Jesus, for Hunter. God, I thank you for the times and the seasons. It's like I feel like there's something about you that God is awakening the times we're in, the seasons that we're in. You know, even though you may not understand everything about it, neither do I, but I do, I am getting an awareness of, Hunter, of the times and the seasons, like there's something up, and it's big, and we may not have all the details. I have some details that I can't talk about yet. I will talk about them soon. But the details on things, but I talked about it a little bit because we're talking about government right now, but you know, I got to have the government of God, but instead of the government, the Democratic parties that we have, it's a great system for man, but it's not a system of God. That's why it's never going to work. So because of the development of things, you know, I know the seasons that we're in and the times that we're in. So God's awakening you to the times and seasons for a reason. Times and seasons for a reason, that right, so that you can be a part of what God wants to do and be and not be left behind or be left out. It's one thing to be right in the middle of what God's doing. It's another thing to be involved in what God's doing. It's a whole other thing to be right in the middle of what God's doing. And God wants you to be in the middle of it. And therefore, if you heed to him, as you do heed to him about the times and seasons, and he quickens you to, you're going to be right in the middle of what God's doing, and it's going to be kind of exciting. Yeah. Hunter, how are you doing, man? How was your getaway with God and that stuff?
It was quite interesting. It was very enjoyable. The Lord spoke to me on several different things, actually.
Oh, really? Wow, cool.
Yeah. It was kind of neat because that night you gave me a word or a verse that said, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added to you. So I was like, okay, I kept that in mind. And we got there on a Wednesday night and it went through Sunday. And I think that night somebody quoted that verse. And
they did?
I think, yeah, they quoted the verse. And I think the next day somebody else quoted it and read it. And then I think the day after that somebody did the same thing. And it was just kind of back to back.
Oh my gosh! Wow, that's very interesting. Now let's back up a little bit so people will understand what you're talking about. You called in, I think, what, a week ago or a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was, and I didn't know it, but you were getting ready to go on this. What do you call that you went up on?
Yeah, it was called Camp Andrizo in Houston.
Like a retreat type thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Like a men's retreat.
You called in on a night. I don't remember what night it was, Monday or something. Anyway, I think it was Monday or Tuesday. And so the word I gave you that came out of me was that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. And so you were about to go do that very thing. You were going on a retreat, I think you said, that night or the next day. And I went, wow, that's amazing how God's speaking it to you. So something's going to happen to you there about that scripture. And then you said just now, I believe I understood you right. You said that the next day when you went on the retreat, that the first night somebody quoted that scripture, and the second night, I think you just said. So what did you think when that was going on? Did you think God was up to something with you or what? How did he?
Well, yeah, like I knew I knew he wanted me to go for a reason, and of course I didn't quite know it yet until probably the end of the weekend. The Lord was showing me different things, giving me confirmations on like my calling and with the relationship that I'm in with somebody. And but as he's showing me these things, I'm like, you know, there's something else. And every time I would kind of say, you know, Lord, why exactly am I here? You know, what else do you have? And he's just like, trust me, just keep speaking. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was a Sunday. It was that Sunday morning, I think. or it might have been Saturday, that I got a confirmation on the on starting a family. And then after that confirmation, it was like the Lord said, that's what I had for you. You know, I had all this stuff, and I had this, and, you know, you were seeking.
Wow.
So it was pretty neat.
So, in other words, he's saying he's going to add a family to you, basically, right? I mean, is that kind of close? Or? Okay.
Yeah. And
wow.
It was interesting because right before I went on the camp, probably about maybe 2 weeks before, I actually met somebody. And then, you know, we were just talking, vice versa, and we started getting a little close, and we went on this camp, and I'm starting to get all these confirmations about that, and I'm like, Lord, this is kind of quick.
Wow, dude, that is hot. That's some hot stuff right there, what I call hot. You know, it's not hot or, you'd be hot or cold. Yeah, that's pretty hot. Wow, that is really cool. So God's about to add that to you, man. That's what it sounds like to me. I think that's what he's saying, because you are seeking him first. You're seeking him. And because of that, when we do that, you know, he and open ourselves up to it, literally like you going on that trip, that retreat thing, you know, like that was kind of like sometimes just obeying God, stepping out and doing it, like you stepping out of the boat. You know, when you step out of the boat, you start going, whoa, there's something, you know, when Peter stepped on the water and the water held him up, he's going like, okay, this is amazing. There's something going on here. What is it? And so it opened him up to a whole other dimension of the power of God and up to for him personally, because it wasn't somebody else stepping it. It wasn't just Jesus walking on the water. It was him walking on the water, and he was feeling the power of God under his foot. You know, the solidity of the water. There's no solidity to water. I mean, you step in the water, you go down, you swim in it. That's what you do. And for it to be solid underneath him, he knew something supernatural was going on for him. And I think that's kind of what that was setting up for as you got out of the boat and went to that conference or whatever it was. And you and then the Lord spoke to you, you know, through the prophetic the night before that what's going to happen, this is what you're stepping into, Hunter. This is what I think the Lord was saying. He said, this is, by you going to this conference, by you going to this, and you step in, this is what this is. It's like you stepping out of the boat and God's opening up for adding things to you that you've been seeking him about. He's going to add it to you. And, wow, I think that's amazing because it becomes very personal. You know, that's what I love about the prophetic here on PGN, is that we minister to every person personally. You know, it's a personal thing. It's not just a scattered word. Scattered words are awesome. You know, people catch some of the scattered words, preaching, teaching. But when you get Hunter on the show and you're prophesying to Hunter and not anybody else, dude, that's personal. And then when God, the next day, you know, like you said, the guy mentioned that scripture, and then I think he said the next day somebody else did. You know, I mean, I don't know. I think you've activated something by your obedience.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely – well, once I got back, I was like, man, things started kind of snowballing real quick. You know, just things were happening and stuff. And it's like, and as far as the family goes, I think, gosh, probably around the middle of June, I think we're going to get engaged pretty much. It's like things just start going crazy fast.
Yeah. Well, how do you think Peter felt? He's like going, I've never walked on the water before. Oh, my gosh. All of a sudden, you know, it's like things are happening fast. You know, like, hey, I'm actually walking now on the water. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's like it kind of shakes you up in a good way. You know, so it's really a beautiful thing. And keeping your eyes on Jesus, you know, like that whole thing about Peter, because there's a storm that gets created, but that storm is for a purpose. And without a storm, without something, you know, that there was nothing, you know, I mean, he could walk on water without a storm, but the storm just added to the part where he was supposed to focus on seeking first Jesus, seeking first the kingdom, because when you got distractions, and you're seeking Jesus, and you're finding Jesus in the big distraction, in the big storm, and you step out in the midst of that, dude, that's activation. That's activation big time. So I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. I know, and there's a lot of things that the Lord was kind of teaching me at that camp too. That's when I've probably about a few months or the beginning part of this year, the Lord started showing me the different aspects of walking in the Spirit and being Spirit-filled.
Uh-huh.
And going on this camp was kind of confirmation and just more growth in that area, you know, saying that
right.
This is how you need to walk in, you know, true manhood in your life, walking Spirit-filled, and this is a way to do it. And stuff.
Yeah.
So not yeah. only with the family, but also like personal ministry and stuff too. The Lord's just kind of growing me out in that as well.
I love it, man. That is so awesome. Wow. Wow. You just started calling in, what, 4 or 5 months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, something like that? You kind of
Yeah. It's
something
pretty
like that. Yeah, pretty new. That's really cool. You know, I mean, it's always cool. Karma's been with us for, you know, a long time. She used to be a host on our show and minister and prophesy to people. And you know, so, I mean, in prophesying to her and ministering to her, the thrill is, you know, it's always so cool, no matter how long people have been around or whatever. I mean, it's always thrilling just to watch God do stuff, man, whether you're brand new or whatever's going on. This is amazing. So God's really calling you into the supernatural or the power of God or the power of the Holy Spirit. And the thing I think he's trying to show you is that he's giving you the faith for it. He's giving you the faith for it, right? That's what I think he's saying in all this, is he giving you the faith. Yeah, and that's what matters. Like Peter, even though Peter, you know, sunk a little bit temporarily, had a little temporary sinking going on there, at the same time, you know, who did Jesus use for the day of Pentecost? Peter. You know why? Because Peter proved that he was willing to step out of the boat. You know, I mean, even though he failed, and even though he later denied Jesus, you know, and when the pressure was on, because he had such faith, Jesus said, well, you know, after he rose from the dead, he said, you know, Peter, but do you just love me, man? That's all I want to know. I don't care about all your mistakes, all your stuff. He said, I look right past that. That didn't even mess with me. But I want to know, do you love me? You know, and faith, hope, and love. Faith is powerful. But because you keep your love on him, Hunter, your love on him, your faith is going to keep rising you up and rising you up. And what happened with Peter? I mean, he said, Jesus said, you're going to feed my sheep. You know, after asking 3 times, do you love me? And he's getting so frustrated with Jesus. You know that I love you, Lord. You know that I do. And, of course, Jesus knew that. I mean, he was trying to bring something out. He said, well, okay, then you're going to feed my sheep. And on the day of Pentecost, who did God use but him, you know? And so God doesn't look at our mistakes and our failures and our coming short. It's that, do we love him? You know, is our faith keeping us in love with him? And so, you know, that's the main thing. I always tell people this. You know, love is the greatest. You just keep loving him. Because when we're going to make mistakes, we're going to fail, we're going to come short. I do. As far as, you know, sometimes I shrink back a little bit when I shouldn't be. And God has, he says, Randy, do you love me? I said, you know I love you, Lord. He said, well, you're going to feed my sheep. You're going to walk in the supernatural. You're going to feed my sheep. I'm like, okay, sounds good to me. Whoa, let's go. And he just keeps drawing you in and drawing you in and drawing you in. Jesus looks at everything, Hunter, completely different than we look at it. Completely different. He's not trying to judge everything everybody does. In judgment, I mean saying, oh, yeah, you denied me, didn't you? Oh, you know, oh, now you're out. That's it for you. You're out. Or you're going to be like the, you know, you can't get, you know, I'm not going to give you the day of Pentecost now. I'm going to give you like, you're going to baptize the Holy Spirit, but you're not going to get to preach because you messed up. You denied me. No, is that what he said? It's the opposite, man. And people don't see that Jesus. And I think God's really showing you that Jesus, my brother, the real one. It's amazing. So laugh it up. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy the ride. Yeah, enjoy the ride, man. Soak it up and enjoy the ride. Yep. I thank God that Jesus is Jesus. And that you know, when we come short and don't, you know, like he says, step out of the boat, you know, we step our walking man, everything's great, and all of a sudden the storm gets really heavy and we sink a little bit, you know, to him it just doesn't matter. It's like, where's your faith at, man? Oh, okay. Where's your faith at? Where's your faith at? Yeah, where's your faith at? Because he knew Peter had God had given Peter the faith. Because when he said, faith, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father, Jesus knew right then, Peter knew how to live by faith. You know, he knew how to hear from the Father. God had chosen him to hear from the Father. And when you hear from the Father, that's when things that we mess, that we don't come do perfect on, we end up perfecting because we keep hearing God say, you know, give us revelation. You know, this is my son, you know, and you're called by me. I've chosen you. So I've given you the faith to do this. So, you know, you're perfecting your faith and you're perfecting your walk. And just like Peter did, same thing, exactly, same thing. All right, man. Hallelujah. Congratulations on all that. I feel like God's really putting things together fast, like you said.
Yeah, it just starts snowballing real quick.
Yeah. Yep. That's what walking on water does. Sorry.
Yep.
Get used to it. Yeah, sometimes it happens to me. Sometimes I have stuff happen really fast, and then I get bored easy after that. Like, you know, man, we walked on the water for a while, and now we're over walking back on the land again. Like, I'm getting bored. I want to walk in some water again. But there's a reason why we go through seasons of everything. And every season is to, you know, for a reason. The season of walking on the water is different than walking on the land and, you know, doing different kinds of miracles that God wants to do. So every process has a purpose. We just have to catch it. All right, my brother, anything else tonight?
Oh, man. I think that's it, other than just, I mean, as far as prayers go, if you could just kind of, I'm having issues with, because, you know, my relationship with this girl is starting to escalate, I'm trying to make sure I'm putting God first, you know.
Yeah.
As we're moving real quick into things, and sometimes I feel like I'm lacking in, like, my personal time with God because of how much time I'm spending with her. But
Right. Yeah. Well, let me say it like this. I pray for revival all the time, one way or the other. And so I'm working at this construction company, and, you know, they have about 70 employees or so, and we do high-rise construction work. Back then, it's back in the 90s. I know I'm called to the ministry, but, you know, I can't seem to get back in it yet. I just moved to Dallas. I didn't really have a job, so I had a family. So, I got a job, you know. I didn't sit around and ask people, give me money, man. I need some money. I'm in the ministry. I went to work and got a job. And so I'm working on this job, and pretty soon, I'm praying constantly. Okay, God, when's it time for me to, you know, focus on the ministry more than have to work and do that? You know, I don't mind working. I'll preach all night long, all day long, whatever. I'll do whatever. So all of a sudden, you know, a revival breaks out on that job, right? And so I used to go out every day at lunch. I was spending my time out reading the Word. That's what I did at lunchtime. I went out to my car during our break and lunchtime, and during lunch, that was my work time, you know, one of my special work times. And so when this revival thing broke out, all of a sudden the guys who were complete heathens, when it broke through and God touched that one heathen guy, he's really a heathen of heathens, according to them. And when God touched him and he started telling everybody about it, everybody wanted me to pray for him, right? And I'm on the job and they're wanting me to pray for them. And so this broke through and it started happening. People started coming to me, hey, can you pray for me, man? Can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? I said, well, I got to go in my lunch. In my lunchtime, I go out and I read my Bible. But we'll have to find some other time. And I'm sitting out in my car, right? And the Lord goes, what are you doing? You know, like, what? I do it all. I've been doing it for years. You know, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm reading the Word, you know. He said, well, haven't you been praying for revival at work? I went, yeah. He said, it just broke loose, Randy. Get your tail in there and at lunchtime start praying for people. I said, God, but what about my Bible time with you at noon? You know, because you asked me, you just asked me this question. I pray for a wife for you know, however many years, and then all of a sudden he brings one, and I'm spending too much time with her. It's like you get a breakthrough. You see what I'm saying? You see where I'm going with that? So I'm sitting there doing what I always do, sanctified, set apart, in the Word at lunchtime for an hour. God, your Word. I'm reading the Word, praying. You know, that was my time, man. It was a holy time for me. And so when I'm sitting there after the revival broke loose and people started asking me to pray for them, I mean, it was a miracle, man. They put it on Daystar Network. That's how what a miracle that it was on TV. They came and they did the television crew came and did a thing on it, how it all started and the whole thing. It was a big thing. But before that, I'm sitting out there in the car, and the Lord said, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, I'm doing what I always do. I'm in the Word. I've got to stay in the Word. He said, get your hide. And it's like he would say, get your butt in there. You know, what are you doing out here, man? Get in there and start praying. So that's what I started doing at lunchtime. My time, I used to be in the Word. Now is nurturing, spending time with them during lunch, praying for them. We saw miracles. We saw healings. Dude, it was amazing. But you know what? God shifted my time, you know, because I prayed for a breakthrough at work. And when I got it, I was like feeling bad because I'm not spending time out in the Word at lunchtime. Instead, I'm praying for people. You know, it's like the Lord goes, duh. You know, like, because we memorialize certain things that we do with God. And I'm not saying you're not going to spend time with God. You need to spend time with the Lord. But spend time, find out how to spend time with God when you're with her. You know, ask the Lord, show me, God, how to spend time with you when I'm with her. You know what I'm saying? And so just like with me, my time now went from in the Word for an hour to being with them for an hour at lunchtime. And it was wearing me out. I was getting tired. It was easier for me to sit and read the Word than it was for laying hands on people and praying for people. And they said, Randy, can you pray for me? Sure, I'll pray for you. Can you pray for me? And, dude, before that, these people made fun of me and mocked me on a regular basis. That's the transition that happened. And so I didn't know how to handle it at first. And the Lord said, just go, man. Just go spend time with them. That's the move of God right now. The move of God is to spend time with them. And so that's what I did. And that's kind of my answer to you. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. It makes complete total sense.
Yeah.
Because you're not actually.
Okay.
I mean, I talked to several people about the issue, and, like, they wouldn't address it specifically like that, but it's like the Lord kept speaking to me in the same way. It's like, you've been praying for how long? And now it's here, and you're just kind of brushing it off.
Yeah. So. Yes, and this is important. Your family, your future family is important. It's important to God. Now, of course, like I'm saying, ask God. Let's just, you know, maybe do it tonight before you go to bed or whatever. Just say, God, help me to be with you when I'm with her. Right? He's inside you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, everywhere you go, he goes. So just say, God, show me how to love love her the way I love you. And in loving her, I'm loving you. Ask God to show you how to do that. And that's what husbands do. Husbands lay down their lives, right, for their wives. That's what they do. They you know, so you can start doing that right now by saying, God, help me to lay down my life by spending time with, you know, possibly my future wife here, you know, and how to spend my time with you by spending time with her. Why does it have to be, you know, different? God, let God start connecting you. If this is your future wife, right, she's going to be a part of your relationship with God for the rest of your life, right? I mean, you can't separate her from God blessing you. So how do you start connecting now on how to say, God, you know, all of a sudden, now I'm getting this breakthrough, and show me how to do it. Do it with you. You start training.
Yeah, me and her kind of talked about that last night. I was telling her, I was like, you know, we're not because we're planning on getting married pretty much. And I was like, you know, we're not married yet, but at the same time, you know, we're supposed to be, you know, growing together in our relationship with the Lord. And I was like, I don't know what that looks like right now and how we're supposed to do that. And so we both were kind of like, well, we'll pray about it and see where it goes.
There you go.
But yeah.
You're already doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we've been going to shoot, like, well, normally tonight we'd be at a Bible study at a friend's house. And then I know tomorrow night we go to another one with some friends and stuff. And then, like, we can't necessarily go to church together because we both do different jobs at different churches right now. But we're moving into that, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And if this is going to be your thing, that, you know, your future, you, I mean, your wife is going to be with you. That's going to be your life. Your wife becomes your life. We learn how to make our life with our wife, with God. And though it all has, you know, things that go on in learning processes and growing processes, and it's not always easy, because a man has to learn how to lay down his life, and give his wife to God, you know, and do what God says, and fellowship with God in, you know, and loving your wife. If you do it in the Lord, then you're loving her. That is loving God, is loving her in a sense. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, because the Bible says you're going to lay down your life for your wife. I think that's pretty serious God stuff when he's saying you lay down your life for your wife. That's pretty serious. It's like, well, God, I'm not laying my life down for you. I'm laying my life down for my wife. I know that's what the Bible says, son. Like, wake up. You know, it's part of the process of being a man. You know, so in serving God, you learn how to do that. And believe me, it takes the Holy Ghost to teach that one. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, yeah, cool. Now, if you guys can get some good biblical counsel on how to do that, to incorporate God into your life now for the future, that would be great. You know, I don't know how you do that exactly, but God will open it up. He's already started stuff, so he'll finish it. But you know, just asking him. Yeah, you're already on the right track. Sound like you guys are talking straight together, and that's really beautiful.
Oh yeah, it's all a God thing, that's for sure.
That is so cool. So cool. All right, Hunter. We'll be praying about that. And, yeah, so anything else?
Oh, man, I think that's it for now.
All right. Well, you know, we're here. Anytime you need us, call in. We'd love to talk to you and visit with you and prophesy over you and pray over you. And looking forward to how God works out things. It's going to be cool.
Oh, yes. I'll keep in touch, that's for sure. I love you guys.
All right. We love you, brother. We love you guys, and we'll be looking forward to talking to you again. Okay, thank you so much. All right, bye-bye. All right. We love the body of Christ. I love talking to God's people, man. Every person is so unique and so cool. It's really, really amazing. All right. 353-894.
Hey, Brother Randy. It's your brother, Tony, from Ireland. How are you, sir?
From Ireland. Well, my Ireland brother, calling from Ireland. We love our Ireland brother.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen.
All right, let's pray
the
for you.
The Emerald Valley. Praise God. Amen.
Yeah, okay. Awesome. I'm going to mute you just for a second. Tony, our friend Tony from Ireland. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Our brother, we have a thank you, Jesus, because as I kept hearing myself say Ireland, I kept thinking about the scripture that I gave earlier. I didn't give the quotation of the scripture, but it says, "Shall rule with the iron, with a rod of iron." Let me look that up right now. Hang on a second. Rule with an iron. Okay. Scripture. Okay, here we go. They shall break them with the rod. Okay. Revelations 2. That's the right one. Hang on a second. Okay. Here's our Bible. Excuse me. All right, Revelations 2:27, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. All right, that's Revelations 2:27. Let's look at that. See what it says above that. 2:27. Okay, and hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. I'll give you the morning star. He has ear, let him hear. All right, so he's saying here, Tony, hang on a second here. He's saying here, but the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any burden, only hold fast to what you have until I come. The one who conquers I will, and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod, with a rod of iron. So the thing I heard when I first got you on, Tony, was that the rod of iron, like the rod of iron, kept just, you know, exploding in my mind, the rod of iron. So God's teaching you how to, number one, the scripture here, Revelation 2:27, talks about being faithful till the end. And to him who is faithful, to the one, verse 26 says, the one who conquers and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will have a rule. He will rule with the rod of iron. So there's something going on that with you. God's showing you how to give you, to cause you to conquer and not give in, not give up, to conquer and hold fast to that. Hold fast to what you have, the Lord says in verse 25, hold fast to that which you have until I come. Because there's a lot of false doctrines out there. I think this is talking about Church of Thyatira. They had the I know your works, your love, and your faith, and your service, and patience, and endurance, that the latter works exceed the first, but I have against you that those that tolerate that woman Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave them time to repent, but they did not. So, and then it goes on down, it talks about those who don't have that doctrine, who don't follow that doctrine, hold of the doctrine. And so God is saying, be faithful. As you're being faithful, he's going to give you authority, you know, like to rule over nations, so to speak, and a rod of iron, which is to break in pieces those things that are not right. In other words, unrighteousness and unrighteous doctrine. And this particular case was about Jezebel, tolerate that woman Jezebel. In other words, they're going to break in pieces, you know, those things that are not of God. So that's pretty powerful. He's really notching up a little bit on you tonight, sounds like.
Man, praise the Lord. Man, that doesn't, I did have a dream about a well-known prophetic minister in America lately, and sorry, Randy, I just recorded that from my own personal, I just stole
okay.
It.
I'm having a hard time hearing you, Tony, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Can you speak into your phone really good, please?
Is that any better?
That is better. Thank you.
So I had a dream 2 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago this Wednesday, where
a well-known American prophetess was prophesying over me, right?
Uh-huh.
But she was doing something most unusual with her hand. And when she began to speak, I knew it wasn't her voice, because I know this lady's voice. Do you understand? Like I know your voice. I mean,
right. Yeah.
I've never mentioned the flesh, but I know your voice. I know Randy Tanner's voice, just like that. You know how whatever God wires us. But anyways.
Yeah.
Anyways, I was like, what's going on with this dream? Because she also, in the dream, she also prophesied like some kind of, you know, like grandiose kind of thing. You know, like I'm going to really exaggerate here now. Really exaggerate. Like you're going to have $2 million in your bank account tomorrow. Okay, that's a complete exaggeration, right? But there was something grandiose she prophesied.
Right. And
when I had the dream, when the dream finished, I came out of it, I woke up, and I began to pray in tongues about the dream. Or sorry, maybe I didn't straight away, but I know for sure I did pray in tongues on the dream. And I just left it with the Lord, right? Now, this is what happened, Randy. I mean, this just like floored me. So like 2 days later, within about 48 hours, maximum maybe 72 hours, I was talking to a pastor in Alaska, right? And I just mentioned this lady's name. And anyways, he actually said he knew her, and she actually had ministered in his church. And I was like, wow. And anyways, we were talking about other things. And then I mentioned her name again. And he said to the Lord, whilst we were talking, that if I mentioned her name again, he was going to tell me some things, or he's going to, because he knew some things that I didn't know. And I didn't tell him the dream now, Randy. I just let him go. And he told me, unfortunately, that some things had gone, you know, unfortunately, he believed that some things, you know, she's a real nice lady and, you know, God has used her and God is still using her. But unfortunately, he said that some things were not right. And when I shared the dream with him, it's confirmed what he said, because
wow.
In the dream, it wasn't her voice. And he said, yeah, she's yielding to another voice, Tony.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So you see there in the scripture there, it talks about Jezebel.
Right.
A few verses before that, it talks about it. So and you know and I know that the you know, people that have a prophetic, you know what I mean, have a prophetic call and a prophetic ministry, the biggest, I mean, we can get a lot of warfare, brother. And the enemy would want to hoodwink us and deceive us so quickly.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know what I mean? That's why we got to be careful, like, with
sure.
what we hear, what we see, and keep testing things and keep asking God, is, you know, is this true? Is this real? Is this right? Do you know what I mean? And so anyways, so I thought that was interesting. You talked about, or the Lord is bringing that about the rod of iron, because surely we need that rod in our hands to overcome the battles we're going through.
Right. Yeah, because what he's talking about, the rod of iron broke in pieces, like the clay thing, the things that were the flesh. You know, breaking pieces, it says, I gave you the scripture, it's verse 27, it says, we'll rule them with a rod of iron. And when earthen pots will be broken. In other words, earthen pots are from the earth, the human, their flesh.
Right.
They're like Jezebel. Yeah, so we need that rod. So maybe God's trying to say tonight to you that with the rod of the Spirit, you need to break that stuff off of you. Maybe you already have. But I think the fact that he's talking to you specifically about this Jezebel thing, and you had a dream about that, dude, this is right on the money for you. I think God's trying to say he's with you in this. He's watching over you. He's protecting you. He's letting you know about things. You went to that pastor. You talked to the pastor. you know, that stuff happened. And, pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, brother, because I mean, I've been on this, you know, I was going to give up on the call, but it's to persevere, like, because even for me here now, it's, you know, it's over 2 hours I've been on the call, but, you know, even, and it's early in the morning, and I'm going to go to bed very shortly, but...
bless your heart.
Do you know what I mean? It's if anybody's listening, it's always worthwhile to persevere, brothers and sisters, and as you know well, Randy, it's always worthwhile to persevere. I remember you were talking about Peter, that last brother there, Hunter, and
right.
I remember back in, I remember the end of 2016, I was going through a difficult time, and you had talked to me. I have it written down somewhere. I don't know. I had written down in some Bible. I don't know where it is now. I know I gave one of them. It may have been a Bible. Actually, I may have given one of them Bibles. I gave one of them Bibles away, so maybe it was on the back of that Bible. But anyways, the dream, you prophesied like this. You prophesied that I was like Peter, and you said something like, you're not going to sink. You know what I mean? And that's it.
Yeah.
I love it. Do you mean? We're not going to sink. As long as we keep calling out to Jesus and, like, these things, like, you know, like, even that dream, like, I asked God about it. And, I mean, Randy, you can't get much better than asking somebody that's had that person in the church.
Yeah. Yeah, that's perfect.
That's right. And I'm in Ireland. I'm in Ireland, and they're in America.
That is right, brother. That's really awesome. Congratulations.
The ways of God. But praise God. Thanks, Randy, for that. I appreciate your time. I just want to say one thing.
Okay.
And I'm gonna get the verse, because it just came to me right there, and I just want to say it. And it's as much for myself as it is for anybody listening or to us. And what I was saying was, there's a suite here in Ireland, and in the UK. And when you get this sweet, we used to take it as kids, and we used to suck it, right? And then we'd stick our tongues out at each other, because our tongues will go black. And
okay.
Sometimes in life, we know that the Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 21, I think it is. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So I just believe it's a reminder to myself and to anybody listening to continue to speak life over you. And then, and like you were saying, like these things with Jezebel and things like that, people can word curses. I felt like earlier on, when I was praying in tongues earlier on, right? And I felt like when I was praying in tongues, I believed I was discerning, you know, unfortunately, you know, that Hail Mary prayer. You know, like
from
the Catholic faith, we know which is wrong, of course, because there's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. But I was just discerning that, and I was just breaking that off. But anyways, my exhortation is to repent of anything, and myself included, I'm going to do that now myself, is that if anybody's saying naysaying or, you know, speaking death over yourself, you know, the Bible says, set a watch over my mouth, the door of my lips, and continue to speak scripture over you. And because the Bible says, brothers and sisters, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and marvelous are God's works. So praise God. God bless you, brother. Night night.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you. Thanks, Randy. Right, God bless.
Thank you, sir. All right, so good to have our brothers from Ireland coming in tonight. It's like early in the morning over there, so they call in. We have some people sometimes that call in from the UK, from different places. I don't want to get into that right now. Okay, let's go here. So anyway, thank God for them, and they pay a price to get in here. So hallelujah. If you had to wait a little bit, be patient. We are on our way. In Jesus' name. All right. 818-860. Who am I talking to you from, please? 818-860, are you there? Hello? I guess we missed that one. Sorry about that. 864-439.
Hey, it's Walter. Hey, Randy.
It's who?
Walter.
Hey, Walter, my brother. All right, Walter,
how you doing,
good to
man?
Have you tonight. Doing pretty good. Good to have you, sir. All right, let's pray for you. Thanks for being with us. Walter, remind me where you're from. Are you from Carolina or where are you from?
I'm from North Carolina. I'm the one that had to come down
okay.
here to take care of my mom in South Carolina.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was Carolina. Okay, all right. My brother Walter, I'm going to mute you just for a second, Walter. Thank you for being with us tonight. Walter from Carolinas, what did they say, the Carolinas? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Hunter just sent in a little word here. He said, hey, Randy, this is Hunter. I was just going to let you know I went to close out the PGN tab open. And my phone, and I noticed that it says you are on your 333 number of episodes. really? I didn't know. Yeah, you know, there's that 3,333 number of episodes. 333. Thought that was normally I would just shrug it off, but I felt led to text you about it. And I think it could mean something in the number realm. Yeah, 33333 means completion of things. Oh, God, let that be about the studio. Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. My brother, Walter, from the Carolinas. Thank you, my brother. In Jesus' name, right as we're about to turn to midnight, I thank you, Jesus, for the wait till the midnight hour. Yeah, waiting till the midnight hour. I don't know what time it's in kept the Carolinas, but in here it's just about midnight because my little thing went off and said it's almost midnight. And so, you know, wait until the midnight hour. There's something about the midnight hour. That's when, you know, that's when I'm just thinking, hang on a second, let me look this up. Let me look this up. Okay, Matthew 25 talks about this. I want to try to find it. Okay, Matthew 25, verse 2. 25, verse 2. Let's go here and see what it says. Five of them were five wise, five were foolish, the virgins. And five were, okay, they took the oil with them, but the wise took a flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, that's what I thought. Oh, my gosh, that's amazing. Verse 6. At midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. And all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Well, their lamps were actually going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know not when the day or the hour comes. So there's something going on, bro, with the midnight hour. Yeah, I mean, that's just instantly, you know, as soon as I got you on, it's now 12:01 my time. All right, so I got you on. It was 11:59, and I have a little thing that goes off in my ear and lets me know when it's midnight, and it was like 10 seconds, you know, like it was 10 seconds till something like that, till midnight. So, and this happens all the time on the show, right? But with you, I'm talking to you, right? And I'm going, and it hit me, and the Lord said, the midnight hour, tell him the midnight hour. And so there's something here about the midnight hour, bro, because when I thought the scripture, you know, I knew it was late into the night, but I didn't know it was a midnight hour exactly. I mean, I probably should know that, but the Lord said, go to that scripture, and that's why I said, hang on a second. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. So there's something about God awakening you, bro, at a whole other level, and to make sure you're, you know, like the wise virgins, right, that had enough oil to go out and meet him, that you're not, you know, caught without oil. You got plenty of oil in your lamp. You're prayed up. You're ready. You don't just barely have enough. You got excess. You have more than enough. And but the thing is that, you know, when the midnight hour came, there was a cry. So I feel like there's a cry in the spirit. I know this personally for me, the Lord's saying, you know, it's time to get ready to enter in. I'm not talking about the pre-trib rapture. I'm not talking about anything. I'm talking about for the season and the time we are, for the cry of the Spirit saying, prepare yourself, get ready, because I'm coming. I'm coming. It's not just like this. It's not just the second coming, like it's going to be next week or next year or whatever. It's just like this. We're in that moment of, like the ten and wise foolish, they were going out to meet the bridegroom, but they didn't know when he was going to come, right? So there's a thing of they didn't know the timing. Nobody knew the timing, but they went out because they knew the season. Somehow, sometime, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow night. No, I don't know if anybody really knew. It just says here that the ten virgins went. And they went to meet the bridegroom. Five were foolish, five were wise. And so you know the rest of the story. And so God is saying this cry of the Spirit, God's releasing the cry of the Spirit. Are you going to listen? Are you not going to listen? I think you're going to listen. I believe you're going to listen, bro. And that we're moving in that season of the cry of the bridegroom. And so thank you, Jesus, for that awakening in Jesus' name, that people awaken to what's happening, awaken to what's going on, awaken to what government we really need. We don't need a government with Trump. I mean, I love Trump. I voted for Trump twice. But you know what? When God started opening my eyes to this, I'm going like, the government we need is the government that Jesus offers, that's on his shoulders, the government that he says is going to work, the government that he says is not going to get corrupted, the government, because it's not only the government, it's who's running the government. And Jesus is not coming back to get voted in, that's for sure. And I don't think he's going to have any more voting in so much, you know, that's going to go on. He's more of the cry is, you know, there is no more voting. In my kingdom, you don't vote. In my kingdom, you don't vote about whether there's going to be, you know, same-sex marriage. You don't vote whether there's going to be, you know, the right to kill babies. There's no voting on that. Because he rules with an iron rod, with a scepter of righteousness. He rules with that. That's not even an option. And God's saying, this is what my true kingdom does. And so the kingdoms of this world, they'll put it up for a vote. That just the fact that they do that shows you that it's not God's kingdom. It's not his way. It's not his government. It's the government of the world. So anyway, so God's awakening you, bro, in a whole another area. A whole other level. And so get ready, man.
Unmuted.
All right. Walter, what's up?
Well, that's amazing that you just said that, only because of the fact, I'm going to tell you what, I see more warfare than I've ever seen in my combined I mean, a fierce level. I'm talking about 1 through 10. It's above 10. The warfare, I've just never seen anything like it. Slander, I mean, outright lies straight from hell. And I mean, it's just been one thing after another. And the most latest thing I just went through was I had a vision. I've had two different visions here lately. I see all the time. But, I mean, I don't see every single night, and sometimes I do. But You ever seen a big yacht? I mean, a big super yacht. I saw a big super. I mean, white. It was like holy white. And I'm riding on the bow. I'm hanging on for dear life on the bow. I said, that ain't a safe place to be. I don't know what that's all about because I spend so much time tending to my mom. I get very little time, and I don't like it. The Lord brought me up better than that. I spend time like you were talking about. You like to spend your lunch break reading the Word.
Yeah.
I literally spend hours in the Word. I mean, you know, like how I met Perry Stone. I'd never met him personally, but I was reading the Word, you know, and the Lord said, go watch TV. I'm thinking, oh, I'm in your Word. This is my TV. I'm in the Word. He said, go now. And so I went up to the TV set in the front room. And there was Perry Stone. And there he was, you know, teaching on stuff that God's already been teaching me on. God's been raising me up about Hebrew stuff. I wasn't finding no one teaching on it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he was teaching me some stuff about what I said, the Lord, the church ain't teaching. Like it, they've been robbed of the Word, and it's true as sense. I said, so that's why, I began to realize just because you're in the Word don't mean that's where you're supposed to be right then. When God says do something else, you're supposed to do it like you were talking about praying for that revival.
The
when
guys
you're
at work.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I love Perry Stone, That's cool.
And so,
what a great testimony.
Yeah. And so, and by the way, I watch Daystar now. Down here, I can get Daystar, and I'm getting it through the internet and cable. I drop the cable and saving mom $100 a month just by going through the internet. And anyway, so I'm here.
Cool.
Here I am. I'm riding on the front of a yacht, hanging on. You know, that front thing, like some the ships that had that long whatever. They usually had a long pole out there. I'm hanging on to dear life. I said, I don't know what you show me, but that ain't a safe place to be. And it was coming. It's coming, and I'm like, now that you said that, I said, yeah, the Lord's revealing something here, that's for sure. So that was the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to get you in a safe place. He's trying to get you in a place where you're ready, where you're, you know, I think a lot of people are not. It's not just, you know, I think in some ways we're all not ready for this. I think we're all being awakened, you know, every one of us. We'll find ourselves on different parts of it. You may be hanging on, barely hanging up front. Some of us are hanging on, barely on at the back. You know what I mean? It's like we're all kind of like being awakened to, you know, God's doing something. Wake up, Randy. Wake up, Walter, and whoever else listening. Wake up. I mean, he's speaking it to all of us. So it's not just you, you know, it's all of us to a certain degree, some more than others maybe, but so there's no condemnation in this, as you know, but it's like, hey, the Lord's saying, I love you, man. I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to tell you. Get ready, dude.
But dear God, how can I get ready by spending all my time just working for my mother? I mean, I do everything here. I'm the cook. I do the laundry. You know, I do everything, and I got to attend to her. Right now, the microwave broke down. I can't even get someone over here to get me to the store to go get a microwave. That's slowing down the cooking thing. And so, trust me, by the time I get done, I am war slam out. As a matter of fact, I suffer from so much lack of sleep, and God knows I'm telling the truth here. I suffered horribly from lack of sleep, and I got stuff. I got all kinds of stuff here for sleep aids, and I finally took this one Swanson brand. I'm not trying to promote the brand, but that's just—it's called Sleep Formula, and it didn't do jack nothing. And that's 10 milligrams of melatonin. I took 10 milligrams of melatonin one time. I was comatose for a day and a half, so I left that stuff alone. No joke, man. I walked around like, hey, man, the guys with his lights are on, but ain't no one home. I walked around like I had a daggone not comatose, but what is it when you hit your head? A concussion. I've had several concussions. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I prayed my way right past that one time. Just me and the Lord. I got back here in my prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Good God.
Right.
Just hit me strong right there. Anyway, I was praying.
Okay.
I said, Lord, I ain't going down this way. Cause I suffered from one before for about 6 to 8 years. I said, I ain't going that way. Again, I looked left and saw that's what it was. I'm looking right now. I don't want that. So as I was praying, he said, I want you to go work out. I said, okay. So while I was working out, I saw something rather strange enter my head, and it was an arrow. The arrow hit its mark. I knew. I was healed, and I was instantly healed right then, right there. That concussion just went away. But anyway, so here I am taking care of my mom the best I can, and I get very little worship time in, and I'm finally done. I watch Daystar all the time, but I don't get to hear it here because I'm so attentive to mom. I hear bits and pieces, especially when the doctors come on Ministry Now and Joni Table Talk. They're talking about when the doctors come on about the COVID vaccine shots. I learned enough information there to know you ain't going to stick me with no needle. Then you ain't going to do it. You might hold me down and do it, but you ain't going to do it with my permission. And I thank God for them. They're a great, great, great ministry right there. But so far as that boat coming in, it was so gloriously white and so huge. I mean, huge. And I was like, okay, God, I have no idea what that means other than I'm not ready. I was like, okay, God, how can I be ready? How can I be ready taking care of my mom? You told me come here. I told you before. I have no idea what was surrounding me, but I knew angels were here. I saw them. But it was, look, I've known Jesus over 30 years. I've never seen anything like that. I've been in revivals that everyone was being slain, okay? Everyone's falling out. Heck, I saw triple. I heard double. Yeah. I was seeing triple. And,
right. I think here's the thing right now. It's like I talked with Hunter before earlier about, you know, my whole worship thing was centered around, you know, I mean, I read the word at night too, but that was just one of the things I did for a long time. I read the word during lunch break, right? And all of a sudden the Lord says, you know, what are you doing, man? You got revival going on. You get in there and do what you've been praying about. I'm like, oh my God. So whatever God has you doing is what matters, bro. It's not necessarily, it's not what, you know, your regular routine. It's like when God tells you to go take care of your mom and it's a little bit overwhelming, then let the overwhelm be the thing that you're worshiping God with. Worship God in the overwhelm. You know what I'm saying? Let that be, somehow turn into that. We so focus on what our worship time is and what our, you know, I mean, I've done the same thing. I talked about this a little bit ago. So let God really help you understand that, you know, when God tells you to do something, that's of God, and it's not going to burn up in the fire. In other words, you can't be burned up if you're doing what God's telling you to do. So I think that's the answer to that. You need to let that soak in, and that way you're not, you know, battling with things that you, like I was battling. I was sitting there a while. The Lord says, what the heck are you doing? Like he was kind of rebuking me. Get your butt up in there and go start praying for people. Like it was kind of like a rebuke. He didn't use, I'm like, oh, what? And so he had to wake me up. And he did. And it was powerful. But it was. I got more tired. I got more wore out. Because I'm instead of sitting reading the word, I'm praying for people for an hour when I should be taking a break. But it was, God opened it up for me. So let God change you. Let him kind of transition you to another thinking process on that like he did me. I think you'll love it.
Well, I do. I mean, I try to engage in the word. I get worship music going on. Michael W. Smith got this one thing called Surround, the concert he did in Nashville. And I keep that playing. And I keep worship going. The word, worship, chest open. As long as I can hear that word, I've got to hear the word. As long as I keep feeding on it. And I've actually had singing through me right over my mom, and I had to go record it. Cause I do write songs, but if I don't record it, it's gone. It's something gone.
Right. My mom. Exactly. I know what you mean.
So anyway,
What
do you think that ship is, by the way? I don't know if it's the new move, the new revival, the last time revival. I know it's going to be a big revival.
Like A ship is kind of like a, you know, a vehicle. It's a thing of, you know, ministry. Yeah, so I think it has something to do with that. Sounds like, I'm not a dream interpreter, but, you know, somebody got shows and stuff. So I think it has something to do with ministry and, you know, what God's doing overall, out on the waters, you know, the boat, boats, you know, Jesus is in a boat, you know, the boats are very, really big. Obviously, you're, it's moving fast, and you're, you know, you need to make some adjustments, like we're talking about tonight. We have this thing where we think we have to do a certain thing. Like to me, you know, I didn't read the word during lunchtime. It was a habit of mine. It's just what I did. And then I go home at night and read the word, or in the morning read the word. You know, I still read the word, but it's just that he shifted me over in that area, and because he was doing something new. So I think he's basically saying, get ready, like the wise virgins had to make some decisions. You know, we can't give you our oil because then we're not going to have any oil. Then we're not going to have any oil. So sometimes you have to make decisions about your oil and about where you spend your time, what you spend your time doing, and you know, as long as God's doing it, that is oil. God's will is oil. So just letting him show you that and make some adjustments.
I wonder also, is it about moving? I'm beginning to think that's also about moving. I personally want Mom and I to move from this area. It's this place. It's just, I don't want to run from the witchcraft. And it's not that I'm going to be a coward about it. It's just, I know there's probably a better place that we need to be at. And that's what, that's been in my heart about, I'd like to get my mom and I out of here. And so, I've thought about that a little bit too. I don't know. You know, just because we see it, we want to interpret the way our way is. And God said, no, you're missing it. And I know that. Just like my interpreted thing about Trump. I knew good right well he's going to lose that thing just because of the way the Lord showed me. There was a part of me, I believe with all my heart, that Trump was actually, I believe he was intended to get it the second term. But, because I voted, you know, twice, God's already showed me that was his man, that's who he wanted. But when I saw that hand lift off America, I said, we're done. Because one thing he did that was absolutely asinine was he divided the borders of Israel. You don't touch Israel. If you do, God will curse everything you do. And I know that right there in the Word. So I knew he couldn't win. There ain't no way. That's my spirit.
The U.S. government, it's a good one, but it's not the government of God. And that's why it's open for all kinds of things to go on and go weird. It's just not a government of God. It's the best government, you know, that we have right now, but it's not a government of God. Therefore, it's susceptible to, you know, enemy to come in and do things. So we need to just change, get a mindset on the kind of government that we have, you know, like Jesus' government, like the church walking in the government that the book of Acts walked in. They walked in the government of God in the church with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. They were walking in the church authority, in the realm of authority. And so that's what we need to believe God for. So, all right, man, I'm hearing myself talk in the background. That's why it's kind of bothering me right now. I'm hearing myself talk. I hear myself say something. I hear myself say it.
Okay, I'm sorry. Does that sound better there?
Hello?
Does that sound better?
I still hear it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like when I say I still hear it, then I hear it. A second later I hear myself saying I hear it. Yeah, so I hung on as long as I could. But when you hear yourself repeat yourself like I am right now, it's kind of frustrating. So just take what you got there, I think, and maybe when you call him, if you have me on speakerphone, don't put me on speakerphone. I don't know how you have me hooked up, but I love talking to you, bro. Awesome.
I am on a speakerphone because my hands are busy.
Okay. Well, that's what's messing it up.
I'm actually taking care of my mom as I'm talking and listening to you.
Oh, okay. I understand. All right. Well, take care of her, man. Go ahead. I can't do anything because I can't, when I'm hearing myself, repeat myself. I did it for a little while just because I wanted to listen to you. But okay. Maybe next time call in. When you call in, if you can find a time where if you can do that, hopefully we'll find a prayer for you that you can call in with that. On speakerphone because it really messes up my end. Sorry.
Okay.
All right, brother.
I wonder if it's landline. I wonder if a cell phone would do the same thing.
I don't know. I don't have a phone.
I'll try. If I can remember that.
No, just have to experiment with it and see. That's all I know. Try it.
All right, man.
If you have it on speakerphone, it just doesn't work. Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. All right, brother. All right, we love you, brother.
Bye.
All right, thank you.
Love you.
All right, thank you for calling in. Okay, love you too. All right, thank you. Let's go back here to 818-860 and see if they're alive and well over here. Nope, that's not alive and well. That's off in the glory. Okay, and that's everybody has their hand up. So anyway, it's 12:22. I guess we're going to call it a night tonight. Been a great night tonight. Sorry, we take so long sometimes ministry people. We just, you know, if you can just learn to receive from other people's ministry, that does help. So call back in tomorrow night, and we'll be looking forward to talking to you and praying for you. Enjoy it tonight. Love you guys. Love everybody. Thank God for what's going on. God's doing some great stuff, great ministry, and having a lot of fun, too. So God bless. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. Bye-bye.